word from New Tech Seed.
New Tech is proud to support high school sports. New Tech is known as the undisputed yield leader as a result of their excellent performance in university and first trials and in your fields. While winning isn't everything at the high school level, it sure makes things a lot more interesting. To put New Tech's winning genetics to work for you, contact Terry or Jason Stark at 750-6060 or visit newtech@yieldleader.com.
New Tech Seed, the undisputed Midwest yield leader.
And good evening, everyone. It's time for Friday Night Football on Classic Hits 98.9 and the World Wide Web at PlatteRiverPress.com. It's another Friday that we're going to just have to hope everybody can get football in tonight and do it safely as storms roll through the area. We are on the western side of the listening area tonight for a Fort Kearney Conference battle in Elwood as the Pirates take on Elm Creek. If you're driving to the ball game, don't really get after it, but they have talked about starting just a few minutes early here tonight to try and get as much of this good weather. I mean, right now it's sunny and 77 degrees, but the clouds are rolling in. We drove through the storm on the way over to the ball game, and these kids and coaches and adults want to get this thing started so that if they do have to take a break, they'll have a lot of football game in. It's the 4-1 Elm Creek Buffaloes, 2-3 Elwood, but the one thing about that is Elwood's already played Overton and Alma. Elm Creek has Overton and Alma yet to play, so this is going to be a telltale game to see, is Elm Creek for real at 4-1, or is Elwood just run into two of the best teams in the area already and could make a move tonight? Win tonight for Elwood really gets them in position for the playoffs. Southwest is 0-5 at this point in the game. 4-4 gets you in, and Kevin Wahlberg thinks maybe even 3-5 gets you in, but 3-5 doesn't give you that good feeling as you get ready to head into the playoffs and draw a tough seed. So what happens here tonight for this eight-man battle. Interstations, ESPN 1460 and 1550, Kearney Catholic is at Donovan Trumbull tonight, and that ball game to go for you at 7 o'clock as well. Doug Duda along with Tony Davis, and Tony, been a couple of seasons since we've been over here at Elwood. What a story it would be. These two teams, as we heard in the open, Elm Creek 1-7 last year, Elwood 0-8, and they played each other. So they didn't beat anybody else, and two teams that have been very, very successful. Of course, Elm Creek just a couple of years ago playing 11-man football. Both teams have to make some adjustments, go through, and as you do in the Class D level, there can be high highs, low lows, and it can change in a hurry. So tonight you see a couple of teams that are vastly improved from last year.
Yeah, they're vastly improved, Doug, except for tonight. The flu has been a rampant statement this week at the Elm Creek High School. One of the studs for Elm Creek, not in uniform tonight, hoping to make the trip over, and that's Zach Crowley, the senior running back, will not play. He is not suited up, did not come over with the team, has not been in school all week long. They did not have school today. They're just a group over there. There's some injuries from Elwood, but you got a Meyer kid. People remember his older brother went to the Air Force, could throw the ball all over the place. Well, they got a solid quarterback. We'll see if they get a capable backup and running back for the Buffaloes. They got a Kinnison kid for Elwood that seems to be their standout athlete. In eight-man football, you don't need six, seven athletes out there that are all-state caliber. You need two or three. It looks like Elwood, to me on paper, certainly got one, and now tonight it's even matched one-on-one right now.
You're listening to the New Tech Seed pregame show. As we said, it looks like we're going to kick it off maybe about 10 minutes early here tonight to try and beat the storm as best as they can. We'll take a break and hear from the coaches, Kevin Wahlberg from Elwood, and up next, Stan Whistle from Elm Creek on the New Tech Seed pregame show on Classic Hits.
Pro Team Design is proud to support our area athletes and their fans. We do that the best way we know how, which is providing quality screen printing and embroidery and unmatched service to all of Central Nebraska. For everything from youth football to college volleyball, we have the brands you want at prices you can afford. So call Pro Team Design in Grand Island today for all of your corporate, athletic, or personal screen printing and embroidery needs. Pro Team Design, 2716 Old Fair Road in Grand Island, 308-398-1154, or check us out on the web at proteamdesign.com.
The officers and staff of First Tier Bank take pride in providing professional banking services with several convenient locations in Elm Creek, Kearney, and Holdridge. First Tier Bank offers a full line of banking and financial services, including checking and savings accounts, loans, investments, and insurance services. Ask about the Wealth Builder Loan Program and online banking services offered at First Tier, including online bill pay. First Tier Bank, Kearney, Elm Creek, and Holdridge, an equal housing lender, member FDIC. Good luck, area athletes.
And welcome back to the New Tech Seed pregame show on Classic Hits and the World Wide Web at PlatteRiverPreps.com. Our first chance tonight to see Elm Creek and Elwood, a couple of teams that, let's face it, really, really struggled last year, and we're happy to see each other last year. Might be a different scenario tonight, but Elm Creek head football coach Dan Whistle joins us here, whose team has had an interesting season, but really a great turnaround. They're 4-1 after winning just one game last year, and they've won their last four, and they're putting a lot of points on the board. And coach, before we get into some of the problems that you're going to experience in tonight's game, quite the turnaround, and had things not been freaky on that first night against Burwell where you pack up and go to Overton, you might be a play away from being 5-0.
Yeah, Doug, you mentioned that game. That's a game I'd rather not experience again. It was, you know, that was a lot of shifts of momentum in that game, but we've moved on, and I'm grateful for our players' concentration and focus here because we have improved quite a bit from that opening night, and that's what you want to see in your ball clubs. So tonight, you know, we just want to try to keep things going.
It wasn't like you had a lot of starters coming back, of course, for the guys and the fans that don't remember, just beat up by injuries last year, and you're going to be beat up by injuries tonight, which we'll talk about. But how did you find a way with some of these young kids to get things going so quickly?
Well, we have quite a bit more speed than what we were able to put on the field last year, and we had some young kids, and we just was real curious on how to try to fit all the puzzle pieces together here to get the right eight guys out on the field and stuff. So hopefully we've figured some things out in that regard. And tonight, like you mentioned, it could be a little interesting for us.
Obviously, we do our pregame interviews before you have your last practice and put everything together. And in this situation, I guess it makes it a little more up in the air. You're telling me that you got at least three kids that might be out of this football game, including your starting running back and Zach Crowley. Tell us how that's going to change what you try to do in this football game and where you go from here.
Well, we're going to lean heavily on our line. I mean, there's no secret there. We're going to have to try to establish a running game and then be able to hit some play-action passes, maybe take advantage of Elwood's aggressiveness and hit them with a couple screen passes and a draw play or two, and we'll see what happens there. On the defensive side of the football here, I think, you know, I'm hoping that we can do a good job defending Elwood.
You've done such a good job running the football. Dalton Meyer, your quarterback, hasn't had to throw much. Are you going to have to lean on him a little bit more?
Well, our passing game leaves a lot to be desired at this point in the season. We've worked on it quite a bit, but it just really hasn't come around for various reasons. So, no, I think we'll just try to establish the ground game and go from there.
Stan Whistle, the head football coach at Elm Creek, joins us here on the New Tech Seed pregame show as they get ready to take on Elwood. Coach, you still have to play Overton and Alma, who were thought to be the two teams that would be battling it out for the district. Elwood's already played those two ball clubs, so this is kind of a pivotal game of the season for both of your ball clubs, isn't it?
Well, it really is. You know, if we could get a victory here this evening, that would put us at 5-1 and probably into the playoffs. Of course, you want to win again the next two nights to try to get a home field advantage there. So that's what we're looking at. And as far as Elwood's concerned, 2-3 coming into tonight, I'm sure we're going to get their best shot because they know that if they're going to have a chance at the playoffs here, they're going to need to beat us here tonight. And then, you know, looking at their schedule, they've got Southwest remaining, and so that's certainly a winnable game for them. And then, of course, Arapahoe, a rival right next door.
Coach, we'll talk to Coach Malberg here in a little bit, but they won their first two games, which opened everybody's eyes after they just couldn't compete much last year. But now it seems like their offensive production has been down. When you watch film of them and you scout them, what do you see different about this Elwood team over the last couple of weeks?
I'll be real honest with you, Doug. I see some good things out of them, and I'm not just saying that. What I see is their problem is inconsistencies. They'll drive the ball, move the chains for a couple of downs, and then they'll do something to shoot themselves in the foot here a little bit, and their drives will stall out. So, you know, they are very capable of doing some good things. They have some size, too, that we're going to struggle handling tonight.
What about your defense, Dan? We talked about missing the running back. We talked about a couple of the other kids that are out. Tell me about how your defense should be ready for this ball game.
Well, on defense, with those three guys, fortunately, we have very capable backups to come in on the defensive side of the ball. I think you'll see a lot of Sean Smith at defensive end here tonight for Kyler Beck, and then you'll probably see, you know, we alternated Gage Butner and Brogan Ellis on the D-line to try to keep them fresh each series, so Gage will just have to go a little bit longer there. And then in the defensive backfield, that's probably our strength, and so we have a couple defensive backs there that can handle Zach's responsibility, and I'm confident they'll do a real good job back there. They've practiced well this week, and I'm not really concerned there.
Stan, weather could be a factor for the first time. If you're putting in new kids and putting them maybe in different spots, how concerned do you have to be with that?
Well, you certainly think about that, and one thing about bad weather games, that seems to equal things out a little bit there, too, so I think that probably plays into Elwood's hand tonight.
Well, Coach, we look forward to seeing the new and improved Buffalo Ball Club, and appreciate the time here on the New Tech Seed pregame show. Best of luck, and have fun next week playing your second game at Overton.
Yeah, you don't get to do that very often, do you, without the playoffs being involved. So, all right, well, thanks a lot, Doug.
Thanks, Coach. That's the head coach, and he's been doing it for a long time and doing it well at Elm Creek. Stan Whistle joining us here on the New Tech Seed pregame show. We'll come back and talk with Elwood Pirate coach Kevin Malberg right after this timeout on Classic Hits.
I have always said that I'm a Nebraska Farm Bureau member because it gives me, as a farmer, a voice in the legislature and in Washington, D.C. But did you know what your Buffalo County Farm Bureau does for you in your own backyard? By giving scholarships to local kids, supporting the Buffalo County Fair and 4-H programs, or tackling zoning concerns and other local issues. Farm Bureau starts right here. That's why I'm a proud Farm Bureau member.
Call Buffalo County Farm Bureau and rediscover your grassroots power.
This broadcast is proudly brought to you by Mom's Kitchen. For a home-cooked breakfast or lunch, head to Mom's Kitchen. The one in Elm Creek, of course. When Mom doesn't want to cook or she isn't there to cook, Mom's Kitchen in Elm Creek will. Now with an even bigger and better Mom's Kitchen. Expect the same great home cooking in a better location. Mom's Kitchen is the taste of home with homemade daily breakfast and lunch specials. Only at Mom's Kitchen in Elm Creek. Best of luck to all the area athletes.
Welcome back to the New Tech Seed pregame show here on Classic Hits. Our first chance to see the Elwood Pirates in a couple of seasons as they've started to turn some things around. Head coach Kevin Malberg joins us as they get ready to take on Elm Creek tonight. And coach, started the season off the way you wanted to start the season off, especially when you had it couldn't have been much rougher in all the years that you've coached last year, could it have been?
No. Last year was really a tough season. We weren't very good offensively. We weren't very good defensively. A lot of that had, we didn't have a lot of speed and we didn't have a lot of starters back. We lost a lot of good players from the previous years. So it was a long season and all you can hope for is that the kids come out and try as hard as they possibly can. And hopefully we can get things turned around here this year and next year and the year after that.
And then the kids get banged up. The ones that you do have get banged up a little bit. And I know there's bumps and bruises, but boy, it sure happened early last year. How nice was it to get out of the gates with that fresh start this year and pick up a nice win on opening night?
That was really that really helped us propel, and I think it gave the kids a little confidence. Last year you can make excuses up because, every school has injuries and stuff, and those are things that just happen. But I don't think there's many schools, Class D, especially, or even Class A, that start four different quarterbacks in 8 games because of injuries. And I would say after the third game last, or after the second game when our starting quarterback broke his collarbone, we had probably the minimum 2 starters or 3 starters injured for every game, and we get one back and then another one go down. So, it's hard, but you can't make excuses. Those things happen.
And it's not like this year's roster is just chock full of seniors either. What were your expectations coming into the season?
Looking into the season and looking who we were going to play, it makes a difference in the schedule that we played. We can take that, when we had our really good teams 3, 4, 5 years ago. I wish we'd have had this year's schedule or last year's schedule then, so those kids would have had to play a tougher schedule back then. And this schedule's brutal. Our second game of the year actually against Medicine Valley. Medicine Valley is going on to win 3 in a row, scoring about 60-some points a game, and then Bertrand is a contender in D2, and then we had Overton, who's playing really good football now, and then Alma last week, and then we get Elm Creek tonight, who I think is probably one of the best improved teams in D1, and seeing them on film, they have an excellent football team, and the Meyer kid didn't play at all last year because of his knee, and now he's back at quarterback, and they got the Crowley kids, a stud player, and and they're tough, and our schedule's brutal in this five-game stretch with, like I said, Medicine Valley, and then Bertrand, Overton, Alma, and then we had Elm Creek tonight, and then next week we go to Arapahoe, who has a really good football team. I mean, their record is nothing to show compared to how good Arapahoe is.
Well, they've had to play some of these tough teams already, too. And Kevin Mahlberg, the head football coach at Elwood, joins us here on the New Tech Seed pregame show. Is your team continuing to improve, even though you've played probably the two best teams on your schedule the last 2 weeks?
You know, I think, Doug, we have. You know, as a coach, when you get beat 48 to nothing and you say, you know, I didn't think we really played that terrible. You know, and that was last week against Alma. You know, we had a touchdown call back, and we had a couple mistakes, and our kids compete, and as long as they compete, I can take that. You know, if they lay down and just let a team tromp over you and really don't care, that upsets me. But last week, I really thought we competed well. We played hard until the end, you know, and there were situations, you know, we did get beat 48 to nothing, but we did some good things. We rushed for a few yards. Our passing game wasn't very good, but, you know, we held them one for 11 passing, which was good, but, you know, they just had a couple big plays on us that really hurt us. And the thing that really hurts us is we don't have very good team speed, you know, and everybody always has this theory about if you can have one fast guy and 8-man, you can win a football game or all this. Well, if you have speed in 11-man, it's a great asset. I don't care if it's 8-man, 6-man, 11-man, 14-man, whatever that you want to play. If you got speed, you're going to be, and they're good, you're going to have a good football team. And Elma had a running back that was very fast, and, you know, we just didn't have the speed to contain him.
Talking with Kevin Mahlberg, the head coach of the Elwood Pirates, as they get ready to take on Elm Creek tonight. Trying to familiarize ourselves with your team and the folks that are listening out there. Pretty balanced. You're not afraid to throw the football with Aaron at quarterback, and it looks like you've got a really nice receiver there, and Colton Hackbart, who's also a pretty good linebacker for you.
We went more to a throwing game this year. Aaron actually could be a good runner, but he's one of these kids that was out his whole freshman year. He had a appendectomy deal that it kept him out his whole freshman year, and then last year he came out and we started playing him quarterback towards the end of the year after everybody else was getting hurt. So basically he's new to this and he throws the ball real well, you know, and so he's still learning at it, and I think he's eventually going to be a good runner. We're trying to put some more plays in for him to run, and you know, on the receiving side, Hackbart catches a lot of screen passes and has some good speed. And if we can get Weber back healthy, you know, he's about 6'4" and got great hands, and he's a good hand too. And then we like to throw out to our backs out of the backfield, get us, and has quite a few receptions also. So, you know, hopefully we can do both. The weather sounds like it's going to be windier than heck tomorrow night, but, you know, Elm Creek's got to play in the same conditions we have, so it doesn't, you know, I'm not going to use that as an excuse or anything either.
Another minute here with Kevin Mahlberg. For the fans out there, Spencer Gittes and Walter Flint, names that you're going to have to hear on both sides of the ball if Elwood is going to have a chance to win this football game tonight. Coach, as you take a look at Elm Creek, what do you have to do to slow them down? What's your main concern about the Buffaloes?
We just basically have to stop their running game. You know, they're going to throw some play-action passes, but they like to run a lot of cross action in the backfield, traps, and they'll run an unbalanced line once in a while. And the things that we get beat at is, you know, you go over it from the beginning, is the kids have to do their responsibilities. We get beat a lot of times yet where our cornerbacks take that fake and then the end goes by them, or our defensive end, if they're going to run an option, comes down and once thinks that they need to make that tackle on the fullback where that's not their responsibility. It's their responsibility to take the quarterback, and we just need to make sure we do our responsibilities. When we do that, we're a pretty good defensive football team. When we don't, which is a case in any team, if you don't do your responsibilities, they're going to burn you. On the offensive side, we just need to get better up front. We need to stay in our blocks and stay with them a long period of time. We work a tremendous amount of time on the footwork and on the sled in terms of blocking techniques and how to stay with your block, and we just need to become better blockers up front. And also, you know, it also goes to, you know, everybody just thinks that if you got a good line, well, our backs, you know, they need to block too also. And so, you know, it's got to be a team effort in terms of that.
Well, Coach, it's great to be back in Elwood here after missing you guys for a couple of seasons. We look forward to what should be a competitive ball game tonight and appreciate the time. Best of luck.
Thanks a lot, Doug, and thanks for covering the game.
You bet. Elwood Pirate head football coach Kevin Mahlberg with us here on the New Tech Seed pregame show. When we come back to Elwood, we'll take a look at the starting lineups right here on Classic Hits.
Good evening from the WeatherEye Weather Center. Meteorologist Ray Miller with a severe weather update. We continue with severe thunderstorm warnings for northern portions of Hall County, Howard County, and western portions of Merrick County. This continues for us until 7 o'clock this evening. The strongest activity now is located in the area northeast of Cairo in the extreme south-central portion of Howard County. This activity continuing to work its way to the northeast. Looks like the large hail at this point will track just to the south of St. Paul and then eventually move up toward Palmer. If you're in that area, please move inside a strong building and stay away from windows. Quarter-sized hail very likely with this. Could have a couple of hailstones as large as ping-pong balls and also the indication of 70-mile-an-hour winds. We've had confirmed reports of 55 to 60-mile-an-hour winds, but radar continues to indicate that we could see some stronger gusts on the leading edge of this thunderstorm. So keep that in mind across the eastern portion of Howard County and over into western Merrick County in particular. Very strong winds headed your direction with this storm. Again, a severe thunderstorm warning for southeastern Howard County, western Merrick County, and northern Hall County, and that continues for us until 7 o'clock this evening. I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Stay tuned for further updates.
And welcome back to the New Tech Seed pregame show here on Classic Hits 98.9 and the World Wide Web at FlatRiverPreps.com. Doug Duda, Tony Davis with you here at Elwood. There's some storms to the east of here right now. Sun's still breaking through, but we're not very far away from getting this football game started. So let's take a look at the starting lineups, brought to you as always by Five Points Bank, the better bank, proud of its long history of being the local community bank to count on in our area. With growth in deposits and loans the past 20 years, unparalleled in the Tri-City area, they've also concentrated on being a profitable and secure place for their customers. Growth, profitability, and providing the best in customer service, goals they strive for and achieve at Five Points Bank, your state secure banking choice. First off, offensively for the Buffaloes of Elm Creek, here's how things break down. The center is number 51, a 162-pound sophomore, Junior De Leon. The guards are number 62, 164-pound sophomore, Nick Mustel, and number 71, Gage Buechner, 248-pound senior. At the ends, number 45 is Jake Bartling, a 201-pound sophomore. Number 82 is 167-pound senior, Austin Samuelson. The fullback, number 33, 148-pound senior, Trevor Sutherland. The other running back is number 30, 159-pound sophomore Kyler Beck. And at quarterback is Dalton Meyer, number 16, 202-pound senior. The head coach of the Elm Creek Buffaloes is Stan Whistle, assisted by Mark Stone, Tanner Cavity, and Ryan Dennert. They are 4-1 on the season. Their only loss opening night to Burwell, 27-20. Now for the Elwood Pirates, the center is number 77, a 270-pound senior in Adrian Eggers. At guard, number 26, 165-pound senior in Thad Ryman, and number 63, 235-pound senior in Carl Einspar. The ends for Elwood are number 7, a 170-pound senior, Colden Hackbart, and number 88, a 175-pound junior, John Weber, who has been out lately but will get the start here tonight. In the backfield, number 9, 195-pound junior Spencer Gittison, and number 39, 140-pound senior Walter Flint, almost identical in yardage and carries for those two this year. And the quarterback for Elwood, number 1, 160-pound junior Aaron Wiseman. The head coach of the Elwood Pirates is Kevin Mahlberg, assisted by Andrew Christinger and Kirk Porter, setting it 2-3 on the season. For Elwood, they started the season with wins at Eustis Farnham and at Medicine Valley. But as you heard in the pregame interviews with Kevin Mahlberg, Bertrand, Overton, and Alma have been their last three opponents. Overton is 3-2 with two losses to state-rated teams. Bertrand's 4-1, Alma's 5-0 on the season. For Elm Creek, after the loss to Burwell, they've defeated Axel, Maxwell, Southwest, and had a tough one last week, holding on for a five-point win against Arapaho. And that's a look at the starting lineups brought to you by Five Points Bank, the better bank. Your lifestyle, your bank, and your solution is Five Points Bank. And we're back with more on the New Tech Seed pregame show right after this.
Honey, hurry. We need to finish loading up the trash. The dump closes in 30 minutes.
Don't let trash take up time in your busy schedule. Let Ravenna Sanitation take care of all your trash needs.
At Ravenna Sanitation, they take trash seriously. They're there to be your trash collection connection. If you need trash removal from your home, business, or farm, Ravenna Sanitation is the quality, dependable trash hauling service that you've been looking for. Ravenna Sanitation, serving all of Buffalo County. This sports broadcast is made possible in part by Kappa Grain in Elm Creek. Did you know that Kappa has a way for you to save time, money, and get the best prices for your grain and have records of it? With their online offer center powered by DNT Market Space. See KappaGrains.com. Make sure you're getting what you deserve for all your hard work and dedication. Kappa takes great pride in doing what they can to make it easier, faster, and more profitable for you. Best of luck to all the area athletes from Kappa Grains.
And welcome back to high school football here on Classic Hits 98.9. You've been listening to the New Tech Seed pregame show. New Tech Seed, your yield leader. Contact Terry and Jason Stark or a New Tech Seed dealer near you. We're ready for Elm Creek and Elwood. The kickoff is coming up in just a moment here on Classic Hits 98.9 and the World Wide Web at FlatRiverPreps.com.
Do you have trouble hearing the radio? How about the phone or TV? Are you avoiding social situations because of a hearing loss? If so, see ENT Physicians of Kearney and Family Hearing Center to learn more about the hearing aid products and services we provide. Or visit us at entphysiciansofkearney.com, caring for our community one patient at a time. We're ENT Physicians of Kearney and Family Hearing Center.
You've heard of CHS Agri Service Center, but have you tried us?
Did you know that October is National Co-op Month? The friendly, helpful people at CHS Agri Service Center want you to know they're proud to be a farmer-owned cooperative with a heritage of helping agricultural producers succeed. That's why CHS Agri Service Center continues to invest in facilities, equipment, and new services while building strong global connections. This month and every month, you can count on CHS Agri Service Center to look out for your best interests and serve the community, because that's the cooperative way.
The most recommended by far, Houston's Body Shop, that's who we are. Butcher, car, or truck, back to factory specs. Free estimates from certified techs. When you need a tow, we're the ones to know. The most recommended, Houston's Body Shop, that's who we are.
And Tony Davis on Power 99. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
Elwood has won the toss and will receive. Back to receive for the Pirates is Colton Hackbart, number 7, and Walter Flint, number 39.
Stace, we ready?
Samuelson, number 82.
Are you there? Okay, 3, 2, 1.
And welcome back to high school football here on Classic Hits and PlatteRiverPreps.com. We'll take a look at our injury report here in just a moment, but they're ready to get things underway, Tony, and Elm Creek's going to boot it away.
Yeah, Austin Samuelson doing the kicking.
And the ball is in the air. The kick is going to sail into the end zone, and are taking a look at the injury front by Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center. They can get you back in the game of life with locations in Kearney, Ravenna, Minden, Elm Creek, Franklin, Lexington, and now in Wood River. Tony, what do you got?
On the Buffalo side of the ball, just Zach Crowley. He's the key to this game. He's gone for the game. He just showed up. Did not show up all week at school, out with the flu. For Elwood, we got a 4, but they're underclassmen. Cody Ballou out with an ankle injury. Sean Klaus out with a meniscus injury. Riley Stopper, a knee injury. And Matt Rogies out with a broken arm.
Well, here we go. Elwood will take over 1st and 10 at their 15. Send a veer in motion to the right side and get up to about the 17-yard line. Split, trying to battle for a little bit more yardage. He'll get up to about the 17, 18-yard line. Short gain on the play.
Yeah, as Flint gets up limping a little bit here, hopefully he'll be okay. Looked like that play just took a little bit too long to develop. Looked like he might have had a hole a little bit sooner.
Going to call it a 3-yard gain here, so 2nd down and 7, and Elwood's just going to have to take care of the football tonight, Tony. They do not want to be out there playing a lot of defense here this evening. They'll stack him in the backfield, and Wiseman will turn and hand it off on a counter play, and there's a nice run over the 20-25, first down for Gittison, and Spencer Gittison will have a first down near the 27-yard line.
Well, he introduces himself to Zach Johnson coming from the defensive backfield. Zach Johnson hit him pretty high and just held on for dear life.
So first down and 10 for Elwood here on this home contest, trying to avoid a little bit of the weather on KKPR-FM, Kearney, Elwood, and Elm Creek. They'll spread the field this time, send Hackbart way out to the left side, man to the right side with Gittison the only back. And Wiseman will turn. He wants to run quarterback keeper all the way around the left side. Got a good crackback block, 30, 35, and he's going to be pushed out of bounds just short of midfield and around the 38-yard line. Should be enough to move the chains again.
Well, that crackback block is by Spencer Gittison, number 9 on the outside, just dropped the defensive end. That was the last line of containment, and he got around the corner and down the sideline right in front of that Pirate bench he went.
So a good start here for Elwood. Let's see if they can keep things rolling along here. First down and 10, ball at their own 38, 37-and-a-half-yard line here, taking a little bit longer in the huddle this time, but already a couple of first downs to start this contest off. Elwood will come up over the football, double tight end set, split the backs here with Wiseman calling the count. He'll go again on a counter play, and this time nowhere to go. Gittison, the ball is knocked loose, and Elm Creek has got it at the 29-yard line. A helmet went right on that football. It went backwards about 10 yards, and it's covered by Austin Samuelson.
Yeah, like you just said, Elwood wants to control the football and keep their defense off the field. They cannot turn the ball over. This thing, you got to watch for the big playability that Elm Creek has. They can score early and at any time.
Well, that's an unfortunate incident there because that was just a helmet on the football. That's the only way that ball is going to go sailing that far back, and it did. So now Elm Creek with the very experienced quarterback in Dalton Meyer, unbalanced line, strong to the right side, first and 10 at the 29-yard line of Elwood. Man in motion, they'll just simply hand it off on that man in motion around the left side to the 20, to the 15, and pushed out of bounds. Kyler Beck, who Stan Whistle really said today, if Crowley's out, I need Beck. I'm not even sure Beck's going to be able to go. They would have been going with a guy that maybe hadn't seen the ball much this year. They'll move the ball inside the 15 to about the 14-yard line, a gain of 15 yards.
That Hackbart runs him out of bounds, saving a touchdown there for the Pirates.
So first and 10, ball marked at the 14-yard line, 10:46 to go here in the first quarter of play as the Elm Creek Buffaloes maybe change the play at the line of scrimmage as Dalton Meyer comes back and talks to his running back, sets him down, split now, no wide out, and Meyer wants to roll the right, wants to throw, got some pressure, avoids the pressure, will throw it out here in the flat, it's complete at the 5, and getting into the end zone for the touchdown is Jake Bartling. As Dalton Meyer was able to buy himself a lot of time there, and get his man into the end zone for the touchdown.
Yeah, Doug, you know, he just waited long enough. The defensive back came up with for the interception, just missed time. The ball goes right through or just right over his arms or right into Bartling, and he's in for 6.
And now they will line up to kick the extra point. Dalton Meyer does that as well here for the Elm Creek Buffaloes. The holder is Hayden Geis. And the snap is right back to Meyer. It's a two-point conversion. They throw it into the end zone and overthrow Sean Smith. Sean, very tall, 6'6", if I remember from basketball last year. He may be even a little taller. They don't list him here on the program. The two-point conversion is no good. But it only took two plays for Elm Creek to turn the Elwood fumble into points with 10:38 to go in the first quarter. 6-0 Elm Creek. We'll have the kickoff after this.
From checking and savings accounts to personal loans and 24-hour access to your funds, Five Points Bank personal banking solutions are simply better. To stay ahead in your business, you keep abreast of new technology. So does Five Points Bank. We'll help you stay one step ahead. Our experienced investment and trust advisors know the best way to help you achieve your goals. Stop by in person or visit us on the web at fivepointsbank.com. Five Points Bank, the better bank. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
I'm Rita, and I'm a pack rat. Not just your normal pack rat, a summer pack rat. You know, 15 swimsuits, punctured pool floaties, each with their handy-dandy repair kit, 24 pairs of flip-flops, because you never know what color you're going to need. My house just wasn't big enough, so I got rid of it. All of it. Into my new cabin at Johnson Lake, Doran Post and Associates of Lexington helped me find my summer relaxation destination, my own lakeside cabin. Doran Post and Associates, your insurance and real estate professionals of Lexington.
Well, again, Elm Creek kicks the football into the end zone, and so Elwood will have it first and 10 on their own 15-yard line, trailing 6-0 here after Meyer hooked up on the touchdown pass to Bartley. And on a toss sweep, Elwood's going to try and get outside with Walter Flint and waits for the blockers to get there. It took a long time, but he does pick up a few yards, maybe out to the 18-yard line, a gain of 3.
Yeah, it looked like there was all sorts of white jerseys over there, but never did get tackled. Bartley was the one that ended up got shoved out of bounds, among others.
Second down, and
it's nice to see eight-man rosters. These both of these teams have people on them, 26, 28, 30, 32 kids on these rosters. So
Wiseman will bring him up, set him down here on second down and 7. Again, they'll send a man in motion from the wide receiver position, turn, hand it off, and nowhere to go that time for Flint. Flint, they've lined up a couple of times, man out as a wide receiver, then sent him in motion, and Butner got in there and dropped it for a 2-yard loss, so it'll be 3rd and 9.
That was a wall of white. Butner, a big guy up there, he collapses on the play along with Meyer.
So that'll bring up 3rd down and 9, a passing situation, and they will go with a spread formation. Twins to the right, and Wiseman will be in the shotgun here. Drop straight back, looking maybe to set up a screen. He'll throw over the middle, and it is incomplete. Trying to get it to Hackbart, and closing quickly on that was Dalton Meyer.
Well, closing quickly
is Stevens, I think. Yeah, Travis Stevens. So incomplete, 4th down.
Yeah, that ball hangs up in the air any longer. Stevens takes that to the other end for 6. And punt formation now for the Pirates. 9:56 remains in the first.
So Elwood now in a little trouble as the snap is high. They go and get it. The boot is away. End-over-end kick that will be fielded at the 35 and nowhere to go. Hit immediately. Hackbart taken out. Kyler Beck, the kick returner.
Good coverage by Hackbart. That's one of them that allowed the guy to catch the football, but immediately was on him.
A 30-yard punt, no return. And it'll be 1st down and 10 here for Elm Creek. In fact, they might have even lost a yard on the return. Hackbart drills him back to the 33-yard line. So 1st and 10, Elm Creek leads it 6-0 with 9:50 to go here in the first quarter of play on a 14-yard touchdown pass from Meyer to Jake Bartley after an Elwood fumble. Meyer with the split backs and double tight end this time as he goes with a normal formation, and they will hand it off to the fullback, and there's not much there, maybe a yard out to the 34. Maybe they'll give him the 35-yard line, a gain of 1.
The first man there was John Weber, a junior for the Pirates. But once, now that time, it looked like on the other side of the ball. A lot of white jerseys on that last possession around those Elwood ball carries. That time there were 3 maroon jerseys on the ball carrier for Elm Creek.
Gain of 1 for Sutherland. They'll go back to the I formation this time. Meyer checks over that defense. Looks like he can make the change if he wants to, and he will turn and hand it off to Beck. Big hole on the left side midfield and be drugged down from behind by Flint right at the 1st down marker at the Elwood 37-yard line. This might be a measurable occasion here. Oh, the guys are already moving the chains. Uh-oh. Now, the referee hadn't even looked, but evidently the guys on the sideline think it's a 1st down, and they're going to bring the chains in. Well, the guys on the sideline thought it was a 1st down, and they're the home team. Elm Creek, the away team. They thought it was time to move the chains, so we'll find out. But good, strong run there from Kyler Beck.
Look, I think he's about 3, 4, 5 inches short of this 1st down.
And they'll stretch the chains, and he will be just short. So it is 3rd down, gain of 8 on the play for Beck. And it'll be 3rd and inches here for Elm Creek.
What was he, 3, 4, or 5 inches short?
You sure you didn't work with Major League, Euchre and Major League? So 3rd down and 1. Elm Creek will take a little more time in the huddle here. I'm guessing Stan Whistle will forge straight ahead here, make sure he can get that 1st down. Although he is in Elwood territory, already leading 6-0, 3 minutes into this football game. On a stormy night, so far so good here. Myers is going to keep it on the quarterback sneak, bringing him down. It's going to be Carl Einsbar, who is able to forge forward off the left guard for 2, up to the 35-yard line.
So Myers listed at 200 pounds. He's every bit of that. He's a big, strong quarterback. If you're going to put him in those situations, he can dive forward all night long.
So 1st down and 10 for Elm Creek, ball on the near hash. We're sitting on the visitor's sideline where the press box is, away from the school here. Elwood on the far side, so we're actually behind the visitors, which is unusual, but this is the near side hash now for Elm Creek. turn, hand it off. Becky's going to be Sutherland lined up out of the IMAC that time, and he is going to go nowhere. It'll be second down and 10. Good job by, well, virtually the entire line. That usually means maybe there was a missed snap count there by the offensive line because it looked like they weren't ready to block.
Hey, he ran into the wall, then Flynn gets in there and grabs him by the waist and throws him backwards.
So it'll be second down and 10. Buffaloes at the Elwood 35-yard line. They'll put him in the I formation this time. We've already seen quite a few different formations from Coach Whistle. Toss sweep, left side, back, short side of the field. He's going to be shoved out of bounds after getting five, maybe six at the 30. And it'll be third down and 5 yards to go. They'll mark it right on the 30.
Well, they're in that I formation, Doug. All the Pirates up there within about 5 yards of the line of scrimmage. You got to think Bartling, Samuelson, somebody's going to try and get down the field and float a pass right over the top of them.
Well, Sutherland looks like he is definitely the bruising blocking back here. And, of course, with Elm Creek having to make some changes because of all the injuries and the illness. Third down and five, split backs this time. Ball again here on the left hash. Meyer going to go on a counter play to Beck, tries to get to the right side, steps out of a tackle in the backfield, now tries to reverse his field and does. 25-20, into the secondary, nobody left. 10-5, touchdown. Beck was hit in the backfield for what would have brought up a fourth and six. But Einspar wasn't quite able to bring him down, and that shows the length, tall, big running backs that Elm Creek has, and it goes in for the touchdown.
I got to think Walter Flint is wondering where he is at. There was a crackback block by Samuelson. His legs were above his head. They show that. Come on, man.
First down and 10, extra point. Here is Dalton Meyer for the kick. This time they will kick the football. It's on the way. And we're waiting.
It's good.
They say it's good. So the extra point is good with 7:46 to go here in the first quarter of play. Elm Creek has jumped out 13-0 at Elwood. We'll be right back.
This sports broadcast is proudly brought to you in part by Foster Family Foods in Elm Creek and Gibbon. Foster's is your full-service grocery store. Shop Foster Family Foods for the finest meats, freshest produce, and every week there are great savings and specials. Fast, friendly, hometown personal service at Foster Family Food in Elm Creek and Gibbon. Your satisfaction is always the number one goal. Foster's Family Foods, the little store that's big on you. Best of luck to all the area athletes.
This broadcast is made possible in part by M&J Signs. Call Mike today and find out how the professionals can brighten up your business and get the attention of your next customers. M&J Signs does a wide variety of signs, from pole signs to billboard signs and everything in between. Designs may be supplied by you, or we can help design your company logo. We'll be efficient and bring you a product you can depend on to show off your business. With just a quick phone call, we will send you in the right direction for your sign needs. M&J Signs is a proud supporter of all area athletes.
And welcome back to high school football as Elm Creek booms it away, and again it goes into the end zone. So in eight man, you like to have a chance to return that kick. You get some opportunities to break some big plays, but Elwood hasn't had that chance. And after getting the ball, getting back-to-back first downs and getting off to a good start, Elwood fumbled. Two plays, Elm Creek's in. Elwood's three and out, and Elm Creek's in again on a 47-yard drive, and they're up 13-0. As Wiseman drops back to pass, trying to set up a screen, it's well set up and completed. Down to the 15-yard line of the line of scrimmage, and Flint trying to make a little bit more, may have got close to the 20-yard line before his knee is ruled down. Looks like they're going to give him even more now as the chain line up. Let's give him a 6-yard gain. It'll be second down and four.
But Brad Ryman for the Pirates is out there one-on-one with Meyer, and Meyer did a good job of shedding that blocker. That play is set up. It took a whole lot further than it did.
So on second down, both teams have shown a variety of formations here, shotgun, non-shotgun, spread. This time they'll hand it off to the fullback, and Kittison doesn't get much, if a yard. It'll be third down, and we'll call a couple to go, third and two, two and a half.
Yep, Butner is the first man there, number 71, along with number 33, Trevor Sutherland. But a host of Buffalo, or Tatonka, whichever you may.
Third down, 2.5 yards to go here. Elwood needs a first down. Keep that offense on the field. Try and get a drive going here. They're going to send man into the shotgun formation. It's going to be a direct snap to Gittison, and he's going to come out to the right side of the Wildcat and should have enough for the first down. I looked back there, and it didn't look like Wiseman, and that's because it wasn't. Gittison out of the Wildcat brings it up for enough for the first down to the 27, 28-yard line.
Gittison knew exactly where he had to get. He got that and then just dove forward. He knew the white jersey were collapsing on him.
So first down and 10, the third first down here in the first quarter. 13-0 Elm Creek, 6-15 and counting, as Elwood tries to put together a drive. Now they'll get Wiseman back in under center. Flint in motion from the right slot. They'll toss it to him on the sweep to the left side, and there's nowhere to go. He'll be hit behind the line of scrimmage. And in there on the tackle, Jake Bartling.
That Bartling flew through. Good one-on-one tackle out there. He has wrapped him up and dropped him for a loss.
Well, it's a speed deal right now, Tony. A little bit more speed. Elwood's trying to get outside because they know they can't get up the middle here. And there's still some speed over there for Elm Creek. So a loss of three. We'll call it second down and 13. Wiseman drops back to pass. Wants to throw it out here in the flat. Got a man, and Hackbart is depleted as soon as he touched the ball. Perfect timing by Britton Ferguson. The ball is perfectly thrown, but Ferguson jarred it loose. Incomplete. Third and 13.
Yeah, comes in, leads with the shoulder. Good job of not leading with the head there. Just separates the receiver from the football. And Doug, since the start of this game where it was a beautiful night, the clouds now moving in, and the skies look mighty ominous.
They're down on 13, trying to get some football into the state of Nebraska again despite storms throughout the area. And on third and 13, back to pass. Wiseman has time, throws over the middle. It's intercepted. Intercepted at midfield and going immediately to the ground.
Number 28
is going to be Zach Johnson, the second turnover. He picks it off at his own 39-yard line.
Now the receiver's running through the middle of coverage, and there were three, four white jerseys. Zach Johnson sees the ball coming, steps right in front of the receiver and said, thank you very much.
So the second turnover of this football game, and Elwood has to find a way to get some defensive stops now as the score is 13-0. Did we see some lightning? I heard the officials blow the whistle. I did not hear any thunder, but this could be a problem all night long, folks. We have been very fortunate not to be right in the middle of some of these stormy games over the last couple of seasons that we've seen so much of. I didn't hear anything, and I didn't see anything, but the whistle came from the referee. He goes over and talks to Kevin Wahlberg, the head football coach at Elwood. And unfortunately, Tony, if they send him in now, we just will come back and play tomorrow. I mean, this is as nice as it's probably going to be. You still see clear skies off to the west and right above us here. The lightning, we're down the storms. There's some lightning.
Yeah, there's lightning.
There's the lightning way off to the east side here. It's all towards Holdridge. That's where a lot of the storms have been brewing up and moving through. They haven't been huge storms, but they have been brewing up and moving through the area at a very quick pace. And for the safety of all involved, the teams will now head into the locker room. And so we'll take a break, and we will find out the exact storm situation. We'll pull up the radar here, talk about that, but could be in for a long night. We'll get an update back from the studio. Hopefully we've got some scores we can pass along to you from the Valentino scoreline. We'll take a break, and we'll be back after this.
Good evening from the WeatherEye Weather Center. This is meteorologist Ray Miller with a severe weather update. A severe thunderstorm warning now in effect for southwestern portions of Phelps County along with northwestern Harlan County, and this will be in effect until 7:45. We're tracking a line of strong thunderstorms now stretching from the Holdridge area back through Atlanta, then down through Mascot and Oxford. All of this activity moving off to the east-northeast. There is a second area of activity just to the west of Stamford as well. If you're in Stamford, Mascot, on up through Atlanta and Holdridge, really anywhere right along State Highway, let's just double-check that, along U.S. Highway 6 and Highway 34, from Holdridge on down to the southwest, you're going to be threatened by this particular storm. If you're in that area, please move inside a strong building and stay away from windows until that warning expires. Again, a severe thunderstorm warning now in effect for northwestern Harlan County and southwestern Phelps County until 7:45. We also have a severe thunderstorm, or excuse me, a tornado watch that runs until midnight this evening. We are watching for the threat for tornadoes with these storms. Not really seeing any signs of rotation at this point, but conditions are favorable for at least one or two tornado touchdowns here this evening, so we'll continue to monitor that situation very closely. I'm meteorologist Ray Miller from the WeatherEye Weather Center.
And welcome back, everyone, to Elwood. We want to thank all the fine sponsors for allowing us to be here tonight and bring you high school sports action as we take a look at what's going on here. We have 5:27 to go in the first quarter and a lightning delay with the score Elm Creek 13 and Elwood nothing. In just a moment, we will be heading to Donovan and join Randy Bushcutter, whose game is currently airing on ESPN Radio 1460 and 1550. We will also be airing that here on Classic Hits 98.9. Kearney Catholic and Donovan Trumbull while we await our lightning delay here. The rule is 30 minutes from the last lightning strike, so we are in at least a 30-minute delay, and we're going to probably see a little bit more lightning. What's going to have to happen is it's going to have to blow this from the east out of here. Unfortunately, it's almost looking like it's backing up, which means that it's getting a bigger and stronger storm. And so that's what you don't want to see, and that's what you do see here in Nebraska. So, Tony, we do have a delay, and this might come at the right time for Elwood. Both times that they've moved the ball, they've ended up turning it over.
Yeah, I think, you know, if you're Elwood, you got to regroup and try and get something going offensively. Bad news is you kind of look like you're, the speed is on the other side of the football, and eight-man football speed kills. And hopefully to negate that, they're going to have to get more people out there and tackle one-on-one, because they have not done that so far. They've had people caught on the sideline, but they let them reverse their field all the way across the field for a big play. You can't let that happen either.
Well, your score here is 13-0. We'll turn it over to Randy Bushcutter and Don Leese at Donovan Trumbull. After this timeout, your score here in a lightning delay midway through the first quarter, 5:27 to go with Elm Creek 13, Elwood nothing. We'll keep you updated, keep it here for more, and we'll rejoin you as soon as they're ready to play football. But we'll take a break and then send it over to Donovan Trumbull right after this.
It's hard to believe, but football and volleyball season are beginning to wind down. And Misco Sports, on the breaks of the downtown Kearney Center, wants to get you ready for the postseason by closing out all of their football and volleyball apparel and equipment, now 30% off. Misco's also has Cutters football gloves at 35% off. And don't forget this month, a great deal on shoes, sandals, basketball shoes, whatever you could put on your feet, up to 50% off. And don't forget the football and volleyball closeout, 30% off all apparel and equipment now at Misco's.
When I told my buddies my starting quarterback in my fantasy league was going to be Matt Schaub, they all laughed. Well, me and my buddies went to Cunningham's Journal like we do every week, practically the ultimate place for sports fans. You can catch all your players on one of their bajillion screens. Husker football every week, awesome food and drink specials, and the beer so cold. Anyways, we're watching the game on the 10-foot screen. There was Matt Schaub tearing it up, threw for three touchdowns, even ran for one. And guess who's laughing now? So sports fans, there's only one place to be time and time again. That's Cunningham's Journal, downtown Kearney.
Yards on the punt. Elm Creek able to score on their first two possessions. They have a fumble recovery and an interception that has helped them out. 3:45 to go here in the first quarter, 13-0. Elwood trailing here at home against Elm Creek. They have been able to move the ball, but they have those two turnovers. Now, if you're tuning in for the scoreboard show, we are going to keep you up to date on scores at every break here. Now you just want to hang on to the football, and trouble there hanging on to the football. Might even be a turnover. Tony, it is a turnover coming off the bottom of the pile here. It's going to be a first down and goal for Elm Creek.
Yeah, a little bit of bad luck there. Elm Creek fumbles the ball and goes back 4 yards, and Meyer able to corral it in, gather the ball in and recover it. But down here, no one loses the ball, Doug, and there were two white jerseys right on top of it. The pounce now there in the red zone inside the 10-yard line ready to go.
I think it was Kyler Beck that covered the fumble. Nonetheless, it's going to be at the 8-yard line of Elwood. Meyer is going to keep it himself, roll to the right side, trying to follow some blockers. Nowhere really to go, and he's going to be stacked up after getting about a yard.
There are five purple jerseys, maroon jerseys from Elwood right around the ball carrier. There are only three people not in on that pile in maroon.
A 14-yard touchdown pass from Dalton Meyer to Jake Bartling on their second offensive play of the game, and a 30-yard Kyler Beck run are the two touchdowns today for Elm Creek. But already Elwood has turned it over three times here in the first quarter of play. 3:05 and counting in the first quarter. It is second and goal, ball at the 7-yard line. offset on the back. They'll give it to the fullback who's going to crash through to about the 5-yard line. Trevor Sutherland will be wrapped up there, maybe to the 4.
He is hammered by Walter Flint. That's a good form tackle by Flint. Just a fundamental tackle. Sticks his shoulder into him and backwards he goes.
Again, we had a lightning delay, not a rain delay, but then the rain came rolling through. This football game kind of mirrors what happened up the road at Alma Overton, where Overton upset Alma tonight 6-0, but they played in some bad conditions. Here now, third and goal, going to mark the ball at the 4. The backs are offset to the left side of Meyer. He's going to go with a pitch that's behind Sutherland, but Sutherland grabs it, heads to the corner, and he's into the end zone. That's going to be, Kyler Beck. Kyler Beck, I think, Tony. Is that what we got?
Yeah, number 30, Doug. Yep,
Kyler Beck, my misread. You got a 30 and a 33. We're looking through the rain-soaked windows here and trying to peek around everywhere. But nonetheless, it is an Elm Creek touchdown, 19-0.
Yeah, you certainly saw that speed to the outside. We mentioned the speed seemed to be favoring Elm Creek before we had the delay.
So now they will line up to attempt the extra point. They faked it once, kicked it once, and this time, no problem for Meyer. He hammers that kick. It is up, and it is good. So with 2:20 to go here in the first quarter, we've been delayed. We're just back underway. Elm Creek 20 and Elwood nothing. We'll be back after this timeout.
And Josh Shelton here with you on the 5 Points Bank Scoreboard Show with some score updates starting in Class A action. Grand Island 56-14 over Lincoln High. North Platte at Kearney has been postponed to October 8th at 12:30. Lincoln North Star a 48-21 winner over Lincoln Southwest. In Class B, it was Adams Central 14-10 over Holdridge. Aurora 21-14 winner over Grand Island Northwest. It was Crete 14-10 over Beatrice. Hastings 35-7 over York. Elkhorn 61-14 over Mount Michael Benedictine. We'll send it back out to Doug. We'll have more updates after this.
All right, we're back here. Doug Duda, Tony Davis with you at Elwood as Elm Creek gets ready to boot the ball away again, and there's going to be Hackbart across the 20 up to the 25 and near the 30, Tony.
Yeah, good tackle. That's a touchdown saving tackle by Samuelson. Otherwise, he's off the races. The last man of defense brought him down. That could have been a huge play to get the Pirates back in this one.
So it'll be first down and 10. Again, Elwood just needs to catch a little bit of a break here. They've turned it over 3 times while moving the football and haven't had a whole lot of luck since that chance to get into the Elm Creek territory as they'll turn, hand it to Flint off the left side, and he's going to be mauled over. Gage Butner is over there, Butner over there to make the tackle, among others, and Walter maybe got back to the line of scrimmage.
Now, one of those first touchdown runs, Doug Samuelson had a crackback block on Flint. His legs were out from underneath him. I talked to him during the intermission there, the delay. He said, yeah, I didn't think I was going to get up for a minute. But he said, then I did. He said, I thought my team needed me, and they certainly do here tonight.
So it'll bring up second down and 10. Send Flint in motion, back to pass, and slipping around. The throw will be made, and the catch will be made in Elm Creek territory at the 35-yard line by Colin Hackbart. Aaron Weisman just about fell to the ground, and of course in high school you'd be down, but he kept his balance and fires for the first down.
Yeah, Hackbart did a good job once his legs came out from under him, making sure he got his arms under that football and came up with a big catch for the Pirates on the first down.
Let's give him a 15-yard gain on that one and call it first down and 10. First play that Elwood is running Elm Creek territory, and it's going to be a quarterback keeper around the left side. Weisman steps out of one tackle and then gets hammered into the Elwood sideline at the line of scrimmage.
That was Meyer over there just right before he went out of bounds. Meyer unloads.
So that'll bring up second down and 10. We have got 1 minute to go here in the first quarter. So if you're just heading home, tuning in for the scoreboard show, 5 Points Bank scoreboard show. Every break we will be updating you. Josh Shelton back in the studios. Doug Duda, Tony Davis with you here. A nearly two and a half hour delay here tonight at Elwood. So on second down, back to pass, trying to set up the screen. Weisman, he's hit as he throws, but it is complete. And up to the 30-yard line before being pushed out of bounds will be Walter Flint. He caught it 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage and then used his speed. It's going to be third down and about 5.5.
Boy, what a good job of Weisman just letting that play develop on the outside. He waited for the very last seconds that he had to release that football.
So the Elwood Pirates now in the final minute here of this first quarter, trailing 20-0 to Elm Creek, but they've also turned it over three times. It'd be nice to see what they can do if they don't turn it over. They're down 5.5, just outside the 30 of the Buffaloes. Wiseman turns, hands it off right side, and absolutely nowhere to go for Spencer Gittison. Elm Creek was all over it. He gets back to the line of scrimmage, and that'll bring up fourth down and five.
Well, the 71 Butner's been there all night long. He continues to wreak havoc up on that line. He's listed at 248 pounds, and I'm not so sure he's not closer to 260.
Well, wherever Elwood is, they have to go for it here, considering the situation down 20-0. They're going to spread it out a little bit, although late getting up to the line of scrimmage, and they decided just let the first quarter clock run out. So at the end of the first quarter, it's Elm Creek 20, Elwood nothing. You're listening to high school football on Classic Hits.
And Josh Dillon in here again on the Friday Night Scoreboard Show, brought to you by Five Points Bank. And more action in Class B: Elkhorn 61, Mount Michael Benedictine 14, South Sioux City 44-14 over Schuyler, Lincoln Pius the 10th 28, Seward 21. In Class C1 action, it was Mitchell over Ainsworth 52-14, Gothenburg over Broken Bow 21-20, Columbus SCOTUS over North Bend Central 47-7, Fillmore Central 20-6 over Fairbury, Minden 30-0. They blank Gibbon. It was Milford 28, Lincoln Lutheran 21, Boone Central at St. Paul. That game has been postponed to October 10th, this next Monday. Class C2, Oakland Creighton 36, Archbishop Bergen 16, Kearney Catholic 34, Donovan Trumbull 14, Hastings St. Cecilia 42, Thayer Central nothing. And here's Doug Duda and Tony Davis with more from the game.
Doug Duda, Tony Davis back with you here as we have a first down and fourth down and six coming up to start things, and Hackbart is going to catch the swing pass but not get the first down here for Elwood, and they'll turn it over on down.
They tried to give him a different look. Now, the total new formation had two receivers to the left, one to the right. People spread out all over the place, Doug, and there's just no room to go. Good job by the defensive backs getting off blocks and making sure Hackbart got nowhere near the first down.
All right, so that'll bring up a first down and 10 now for Elm Creek, leading it by a score of 20-0. Kyler Beck already 62 yards rushing and two touchdown rushes, one touchdown pass for Meyer. Dalton turns, hands it off to the last man through, and he does not get back to the line of scrimmage.
No, I think the first man there that time was number 77, Eggers, 270-pound senior for the Pirates. Good job up there. The big man got through there, and it was like he ran into a wall.
Beck had nowhere to go. He's going to lose a yard on the play. It'll be second down, maybe 12, second and 11-12. Ball marked back at about the 27-yard line of Elm Creek. Split the backs this time, who are Kyler Beck and Trevor Sutherland. Dalton Meyer, your quarterback. Takes the snap, fakes the handoff. He's going to be hit in the backfield, and he's going to be dropped for a loss. The first man to get there was Brady Crafton. Crafton got in and dropped him behind the line of scrimmage. That is a huge loss on the play. Back to the 20-yard line. We'll say a loss of 7. It's going to be third down at about 18.
Yeah, a little slow developing. Crafton comes from the opposite side, able to run down Meyer and just wrap him up and just hold on and wait for help.
So now a passing situation, and Elm Creek does not necessarily like to throw the football, and definitely don't like to throw the football when everybody else knows you're supposed to throw the football.
Although Meyer can throw the football.
Yes, he can. Third down, 17 yards to go. Ball back at the 21-yard line. Meyer fakes the handoff, rolls to his left. Under pressure, throws it across the middle, and it's well covered as he tried to get it out there to Samuelson, and that'll make it fourth down. Good pressure there. Carl Einspar, who was playing good before the timeout, before the weather delay, put the pressure on him, and it will be another punt here for Elm Creek.
Flint and Hackbart had Samuelson just in basically sandwich coverage out there. There was really nowhere to fit that ball. Meyer might have been just throwing that ball away. It wasn't even close to anybody.
Number 48.
So it's time now to punt the ball away for Elm Creek. And a good high punt taken at the 30-yard line. Flint to the 35, really didn't have a lot of running room. Took what he could up to the 37-yard line. And it'll be first down and 10 there for Elwood.
Sutherland in on that stop for the Buffaloes.
About a 30-yard punt again that time for the Elm Creek Buffaloes. And Elwood will have it again with 8:21. They've actually went down to 10-minute quarters. I don't know how legal that is, but that's what they're doing with this two-and-a-half-hour weather delay here at Elwood. Fort Kearney Conference action on KKPR-FM, Kearney, Elm Creek, Elwood, and the World Wide Web, PlatteRiverPreps.com. Doug Duda, Tony Davis, our producer, Stacy Johns, Josh Jeldon providing the scores. If you're tuning in for that, a lot of weather delays tonight. And here's a handoff. Walter Flynn has some room, 40 into Elm Creek territory, close to the first down marker, but just short, about the 35-yard line, going to be a gain of 8. We'll call it second down and 2.
Meyer along with Britton Ferguson bringing him down, but another good game by Flynn. He runs tough, not a big kid, but does run tough.
Well, the big win tonight for Overton, 6-0 over Alma. Coach getting his first big win there at Overton. Kearney High postponed until 12:30 tomorrow at Kearney High. Second down and 2 yards to go here for Elwood. Quarterback sneak right up the middle, and Weissman didn't get it. He had to get 2 yards. He might have got one. It's going to be third down.
Yeah, Doug, you bring up Kearney High North Platte. That's an interesting scenario. If you're North Platte, do you drive the 100 miles back home? Do you stay in Kearney? Obviously didn't have any plans to stay in Kearney. Do you wash the uniforms? What do you do? You got
Bernie probably sold his house by now, didn't he?
I would assume. Well, we hope Bernie did.
Third down and 1. So if you're heading home, glad you're along with us here on Classic Hits for some high school late-night football. Kearney Catholic a winner earlier tonight as they defeated Donovan Trumbull. And another quarterback sneak here, and I don't know if Weissman got it. He tried to go off his left guard, but some pretty good defense there by Elm Creek. They crashed in immediately, and they're going to probably bring the chains in for this one. 45 Jake Bartling came over to fill the gap.
Well, anytime like Bartling or Butner shows up, pushes that line straight up, then they let Meyer and a couple of those defensive backs fly in there, and just people are moving backwards then.
Well, it's going to take a while for the chains to get out there. Fast Eddie Aarons is on one of them, so it's going to take a while for that to get out there. Just good to see that he's running straight down the line as they extend the markers here, and it's going to be short, so it'll be fourth and an inch here for Elwood, and obviously they'll be going for it just outside the 30-yard line. So a score 20-0 with 7:18 to go here in the first half of play. When Elwood hasn't turned it over, they've been playing straight up with Elm Creek, but Elm Creek has cashed in all three turnovers. Fourth and a yard. They tried to go for it on quarterback sneak twice. Will they do it again? Yes, they will, and this time they push him back, but Weissman looked like he had pretty good forward momentum. This is all going to be on the side, Judge, and if you're going with the one on the Elm Creek sideline, it will be a first down, but we might see the change again. No, we won't even have to see the change. It's good enough for a first down.
Yeah, immediately that was a much better surge by the offensive line. You could tell he got about a half a yard, and he only needed a couple, 3 or 4 inches. So pretty easy call for the official, just seeing the push the line gave him.
Elwood 2-3, Elm Creek 4-1. I guess if you're just joining us, you would have missed all the pregame that we had tonight. Elm Creek, though, still has Overton and Alma, and Elwood has already played those two ball clubs, considered the best in the area. Weissman back to pass on first down, floats one for his tight end, and it is underthrown and incomplete. Trying to get it down to Spencer Gittison, who was well covered, and it's just hard to throw the wet paper sack. And Gittison tried to come back, he slipped and fell down, and that gave Elm Creek a chance for an interception, but it was underthrown enough that even the Buffaloes couldn't come back after it.
Yeah, Gittison did a good job of trying to come back for the football. He's actually open about 2 seconds earlier, had a window to get the ball, but I don't think Weissman could grip the football.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. I think he was trying to get a hold of the football to throw it down there. Second down and 10. Ball at the 33-yard line. And here's a fake on the swing pass. Pump fake, want to go deep to Flint, and it's at the corner of the pylon, and he cannot get to it. Incomplete on the coverage there. Is Britton Ferguson. Well, Weissman showing that he can chuck the ball down the field, and Flint has enough speed that he got behind his man, but just couldn't hook up on the 33-yard touchdown pass. Well, what would have been a 33-yard touchdown pass.
Doug, they ran that same play that they did on fourth down. If he couldn't get the first down, they just tried the old spot pass out there. He just winds up, fakes it there, and then tries to throw one over the top of the outside receiver, but just overshot his man by about a yard.
And it is now third down and 10. Ball at the 33-yard line. Went out wide to the right, gets into the backfield. Fake the swing pass, and no, they don't. It's going to be batted down. They did try the swing pass out there. It's going to be batted down by Tyler Beck. Nearly a backwards pass, which would have been a lateral, which would have been a fumble, but they call it incomplete. And so after getting that first down, getting back into Elm Creek territory, it's now fourth down, but they are going to line up to punt it from the 33-yard line.
Jacob Schmeckle is back.
Let's see what Schmeckle does here. His second punt of the game. Good snap, little rush. Pops that baby straight up in the air, though. And that is going to land in a puddle out of bounds. And that is not going to be a very far punt. They are still marking it off. That's going to end up being like a 5-yard punt. It's going to be out of bounds at around the 28-yard line. And that's what I'm going to mark it down as, Tony, 5 yards.
Yeah, no, it just came off the side of his foot. I don't think he ever got a good grip on the ball. It looked like it slipped out of his hands on the way to his foot. And then probably lucky he got any of the ball at all.
Huge upset tonight, Tony. The Cardinals score in the first, and that is it. Cardinals 1, Phillies nothing. It's a final in Game 5. First down and 10 here for Elm Creek. Meyer turns, hands it to Beck. I think they're going to stay pretty conservative, Tony. And for Elwood, they're coming right after him, and no gain on the play as he's getting tackled off the left guard.
Well, Stan Whistle knows that they got the speed advantage to the outside, so they keep running these plays between the guards and the ends here in 8-man. Would be tackle-to-tackle football. They'll try and bounce something outside, and I think use their speed here shortly.
Also tonight, Gothenburg beating Broken Bow in multiple overtimes. We'll have more scores in just a moment. But second down now and 10 yards to go. Split the backs. Meyer, he's going to hand it off to his fullback who comes across the 30, the 35. And that's where he's going to be brought down after a gain of about 7.
That's Sutherland. Sutherland with the carry that time, Doug. I don't think anybody but one guy knew he had the ball. And lucky that one guy held on to him, bring him down, or he'd still be running. Hey, Mitchell, what a huge upset it is to send the Phillies home. Pretty interesting there. Now the Brewers will have home field advantage in that chance to go to the World Series.
And their first game will be on Sunday. Brewers win in 10 innings tonight, 3-2 over the Diamondbacks. Here it's third down and 3. Meyer's going to keep it himself off the left side, and he's not going to get it. Elwood's doing a great job. Oh, he popped off of him. He slid off. His slick jersey got him off. It looked like he was going to be down, and Meyer is going to have enough for the first down, Tony. That's one of those that looked like the play was going to be dead, but slips off there and gets the first down.
Now, Carl Einspar actually had him about 2 yards deep, and you were exactly right, but he kept fighting and got away from him and bounced around the outside for the first down.
So Elm Creek, 4:45 and counting here in the first quarter, or in the first half. It's 20-0 Elm Creek after our 2.5-hour lightning and rain delay. Now to turn the handoff. There's Beck over the right side, gets into Elwood territory to the 37-yard line. Going to get himself a gain of 4.
Yeah, that's interesting. You can already see the lecture they got. See him hanging on to the football. Stan Whistle said, guys, the only way that I think we got a chance to lose this football game tonight if we turn the ball over. He had that ball wrapped up with both arms. Nothing was getting it away from him.
Well, one of these games where we had all the stats and everything to tell you about all these kids, but with this delay, it's just trying to get controlled and get ready to go, literally. It was 5 minutes from when they came out of the high school until when we snapped the ball here to get things going again. And Elwood seems to be a little bit more fired up. Elm Creek seeing a couple of mistakes, and they're trying to be controlled. Win this game, get your wild card points, get to 5-1, win tonight. I mean, I think Elm Creek already, with the number of schools now that we have been dwindled down to, 500 record is going to get you into the playoffs every time. Elwood still needing a win or two to get in. And here's Dalton Meyer, hands it to the fullback again. Simple fullback trap, Sutherland. He's going to get to the 34-yard line.
They just keep running that play, and they've about broke two of them now. But Meyer keeps carrying out that fake. One of these times that fullback's not going to have it. Meyer's going to go right around the end with no one there, it looks like.
Coming up, it'll be a very short halftime. We'll give you quick stats. We'll go back to the studios, give you all the scores that we can in about a three-minute time span. Here it's third down and 2, Elm Creek at the Elwood 34-yard line. Back split. Meyer turns, hands it to Beck off the right side, has the first down to the 30-yard line. Tackle is made that time by John Weber. Zach Hackbart also in there, but it's enough to move the chain.
Yeah, Weber did a good job of staying to the outside that time, making sure that play got back to the middle of the field where he knew he had help, and then he wrapped up the ball carrier.
Clock moves again with the chain set. 3:10 to go here in the first half, 20-0 Elm Creek, but there's been no scoring here in the second quarter. Elwood 3 turnovers, Elm Creek 3 touchdowns off those turnovers.
Meyer now on the right hash. He's going to give it to the fullback again. Sutherland makes one-man miss, makes two-man miss. He's into the clear and then tripped up just before he can head to the end zone. He's going to be close to the 15-yard line.
Weber again saves the touchdown. Good job of tackling when it looked like he was off the races.
16 yards on the play, eight-man football. Obviously, if you can bust through that secondary, through that second level of defense, there's not going to be anybody left. So past the linemen, past the linebackers, and Weber, the safety, able to make the tackle. First and 10 at the 14-yard line. Elm Creek on the march here. And Meyer going to drop back to pass, throw it over the middle. He's got his man complete to the 5, to the 2, to the end zone. Touchdown, Elm Creek.
Good job by Kyler back getting to the outside, Doug, calling for the football and saying, here I am, wide open. Meyer puts it right in his hands, right above his head. And he turns around and walks in for 6.
The second 14-yard touchdown pass of the night. And now it's time for the extra point. Kyler Beck hauling that one in. Now the extra point kick. Meyer with plenty of leg. He hammers his way through that. It is up and it is good. 2:33 to go. First half. It's now Elm Creek 27, Elwood nothing. You're listening to high school football on Classic Hits.
And Josh Sheldon back here in the studio with you on the 5 Points Bank Friday Night Scoreboard Show. More from Class C 2. Palmyra loses to Lincoln Christian 49-16. It was Sutton over Superior 52-6 in Class D1 8-man action. Overton blanks Alma tonight 6-0. Palmer and Axtell, that game's been rescheduled for October the 10th, this upcoming Monday. Bruning Davenport Shickley over Deschler 36-22. It was Kennesaw blanking Franklin 58-0. Heartland at Fullerton, that's been rescheduled for Monday as well. High Plains Community 42, Newman Grove 26. Now here's the guys back at the game.
All right, we're back with more high school football as the kickoff goes into the end zone again. Can't say enough about that. Every kickoff for Elm Creek has been a touchback.
No, that's such a huge advantage in the 8-man game. That can be one of the big whip weapons when you got shifty, quick people. And both of these teams have a couple of them. They get loose on a kickoff that can be big plays, turn momentum around. They've negated that happening every time here Elm Creek has this first half.
Elwood has all three of their timeouts. Just haven't been able to get into the end zone. They have moved the ball here. They'll have it first and 10 at their own 15. They want to throw the football. Little time on the rollout. Wiseman down the field. Hackbart makes the catch at the inbounds. Yes, he is. Couldn't tell by all the hand signals there from the official, but it's across midfield to the 38-yard line.
No, he's saying incomplete.
Well, why was he marking the ball? Okay, incomplete. And the ball will go back to Elwood at the 15-yard line. Good catch by Hackbart, no matter where his feet were. Wiseman has not been afraid to put the ball in the air. Coach Kevin Malberg giving him a chance here.
That was a great pitch and catch, I thought, Doug.
Yeah, I thought it was a catch. Stan Whistle was kind of down the sideline there saying it wasn't a catch, and then all of a sudden the official never made a clear indication whether it was complete or not complete. And now we have a penalty flag, which is the first one of the football game. And offsides call on the Buffaloes by the back judge.
Interesting.
I guess, folks, we just have to put it out there for you. No one's really happy with what happened here with the guys in the stripes tonight. So anytime something goes a little weird, there's a reaction from the crowd that remains here tonight. But it is an offsides penalty, second down and 5. They spread it out, hand it to Flint off the right side. He's got the first down, carries the man out to the 28-yard line before being brought down. A gain of 8.
I think Elm Creek realized Spencer Giddis and Flint have the ball about half the time. They've really negated the carries, and they must be keying on Spencer. So Buck Malberg says, hey, okay, Walter, here you go. Here's the ball.
2:15 and counting here in the first half of play. Elwood trying to get on the board here before halftime, trailing 27-0. On that toss sweep, here comes Walter Flint, trying to cut it back up over his center, and there's nothing there, maybe a yard for Flint. It'll be second down and 9. I've got Flint 23 yards already on 8 carries in the ball game. Giddison, 4 carries, 16 yards. Wiseman, 5 carries, 13 yards. And no huge pass plays, so not a lot of big plays. A couple 10-yard plays. Couple before the break and one here since.
Call it second down, right at 10 again, out of the I formation. Wiseman takes the handoff, wants to roll out and throw. He's hit as he throws, fires it out here. It's complete to Weber, though, at midfield. And this one is good enough for a first down, a gain of 12, maybe 13 as they move it just into Elm Creek territory.
Travis Stevens right there, along with number 45, Bartling, but the catch is made right in front. I think those guys were trying to get their footing and come up on the receiver, but they couldn't get their footing in time.
John Weber hauling it in. First and 10, ball at midfield. Of course, in the eight-man game, that's the 40-yard line. Elm Creek putting six guys up in the box here. Now out of the shotgun formation. Wiseman back to pass. Wants to throw deep. One-on-one for Hackbarth. And his defender lost him, and it slips through Hackbarth's hand at the 10-yard line. I think Hackbarth saw that his defender didn't know where the ball was. And he looked at the defender and then looked back up and the ball was already on it.
Yeah, Travis Stevens looked back. Well, I think he had to lose the thing in the life. Had no idea. And then he had about 3 yards on him, but Hackbarth couldn't find the football.
So it'll be second down and 10. Ball at midfield. Clock stopped with a minute 14 to go in the first half. Elm Creek 27. Elwood nothing. And again, we just have to keep saying Elwood has been moving the ball and moving the ball and moving the ball, but it's been the turnovers that have hurt him. Now we have an official timeout on the field here with the football game, 27-0. Kyler Beck has ran two in from 30 and 4 yards out. He's had a 14-yard touchdown reception here in the second quarter. The first score of the game came less than 90 seconds in after Elwood. They got two first downs and fumbled it. It's been about a minute 15, and Dalton Meyer hooked up with Jake Bartley on a 14-yard touchdown pass. Now we're ready to go. Wiseman back to pass. Has time. That O-line's doing a good job. And then just as we say that, he didn't have enough time to throw that one downfield. First sack of the ball game for Elm Creek. Austin Samuelson got him all the way back at the Elwood 33-yard line.
Just that too long back there. Hackbart tried to block Samuelson. Had him one-on-one, but he's able to shut that block and through there. And then a good job of taking down the quarterback one-on-one situation. He tried to escape to the right.
More of a coverage sack. Wiseman had time. He actually had time to look at a couple of guys. So now it'll be third down at about 17 yards to go. I formation. They're going to hand it off. Flip, big hole. 35, 40, 35. He's going to be brought down to the secondary just short of the first down. It'll be fourth at about a yard, maybe two.
I think Elwood just called a timeout, too, Doug. That's their first timeout. Good thing Johnson saved a touchdown, though. I think Flint would have went the distance.
Well, right now, Tony, there's a pretty good gap in the Elm Creek defense. They're putting those six guys in the box. They're putting their safeties back at normal depth. There's about 8 to 10 yards in between the linebackers and the safeties.
You're exactly right. The two cornerbacks are playing off the football. And then they're thinking, well, with only a minute left, they're going to throw the football, so we're going to get back there and defend the football. But that opens up some running lanes, and that's exactly what Elwood is able to take advantage of.
Fourth down and two. Elwood will have the ball at the Elm Creek 32-yard line, needing to get to the 30. There's only 30 seconds left here, but get a first down. You'll have time maybe for three more plays before halftime. Coming up, the Ravenna Sanitation Halftime Report. Yes, you are listening to live high school football on Classic Hits. We had a nearly two-and-a-half-hour weather delay here. First call for lightning, then about 35 minutes from 9 to 9:35 with pretty heavy rain, and shortly after that, we got back out here. Doug Duda, Tony Davis, as they line up on fourth down.
Timeout on the field.
And another timeout by Elwood. So back-to-back timeouts. We'll take one with them and be right back.
All right, we're back here in the studio. Josh Sheldon with you on the 5 Points Bank Friday Night Scoreboard Show. More from the eight-man ranks in Class D1. McCool Junction 34-12 over Osceola. Nebraska Christian 30-12 over East Butler. It was Garden County 61-8 over Sandhills Thedford. Arapahoe 34-0 over Southwest. And we will send it back to the guys with more scores after this.
Well, it didn't take Elwood long to figure out what they wanted to do. They're back up, ready to run the football. Actually, Elm Creek's coaches are out there still talking to their defense. Elwood's ready to go here. Fourth down and two at the Elm Creek 32-yard line as we blow the play ready. 30 seconds to go before halftime, and the Pirates trying to get on the board here. They have not been able to run the ball up the middle very often. Let's see what they do here. Wiseman calls the count. He's going to fake the handoff, roll to his right, wants to throw, looking for Hackbarth, has some time, now throws it out there, and there's nobody home. He was looking for John Weber,
and he never could get open, and the pass falls incomplete and turns it again over on down to Elm Creek with 22 seconds to go here in the first half.
Junior De Leon, and there's a sophomore for the Buffaloes applying the pressure to the quarterback that time. So the young sophomore seeing some action for some of the first that he saw tonight.
Well, Elm Creek just needs to probably hand it off one time here, and we're going to go to halftime. I formation, Samuelson the fullback, or Sutherland the fullback, back the I back. And they're just going to go ahead and kneel on it and take us to halftime here, Tony.
Well, I guess Coach Whistle says, okay, let's go regroup, come out, and see what we can do.
So we are at halftime here at Elwood. And your score, the Elm Creek Buffaloes 27 and the Elwood Pirates nothing. We have a very short halftime, so let's get right into it. This is the Ravenna Sanitation Halftime Report. For quality, dependable trash hauling service for your farm, home, or business, contact the professionals at Ravenna Sanitation. We'll send it back to the studios for a couple of words from our sponsors and some scores and be back with the second half in a couple of minutes. Stay here.
As a sponsor of this high school sports broadcast, Romania Drilling of Elwood would like to say how proud they are of all our area athletes and wish the Pirates good luck. Romania Drilling Company has been operating since 1954. That's almost 60 years' experience in irrigation wells and pumps, domestic wells, heat pump drilling, and more. For a free estimate, call Romania Drilling Company in Elwood. They've been around a long time.
This sports broadcast is proudly brought to you in part by Foster Family Foods in Elm Creek and Gibbon. Foster's is your full-service grocery store. Shop Foster Family Foods for the finest meats, freshest produce, and every week there are great savings and specials. Fast, friendly, hometown personal service at Foster Family Food in Elm Creek and Gibbon. Your satisfaction is always the number one goal. Foster's Family Foods, the little store that's big on you. Best of luck to all the area athletes.
Josh Sheldon back here in the studio with you on the 5 Points Bank Friday Night Scoreboard Show. We're getting some more scores in Class D2. Amherst at Loomis has been postponed to Monday at 2 o'clock due to the weather. And Selma Myrna was a 44-7 winner over Stapleton McPherson County. SEM a 59-16 winner over Ansley. Bertrand at Wilcox Hildreth. That game has been postponed to Monday at 2 o'clock. Sargent a 79-6 winner over Cody Kilgore. Dorchester 43-8 winners at Hampton. It was Medicine Valley 41 Eustis Farnham 12, Exeter Milligan 66-6 over Nebraska Lutheran, Giltner 40 Silver Lake Zip. It was Litchfield 68 Heartland Lutheran 34, Meridian 18-12 over Lawrence Nelson, Stewart 38-12 over Mullen. Back in the Class A ranks, it was Grand Island 56-14 over Lincoln High. North Platte at Kearney has been postponed to October 8th at 12:30. Lincoln North Star a 48-21 winner at Lincoln Southwest. We have Class B results from Adams Central, 14-10 winners over Holdridge. Aurora, 21-14 over Grand Island Northwest. It was Crete, 14-10 over Beatrice. Hastings, 35-7 at York. In double overtime, McCook over Lexington, 16-13. Elkhorn, 61-14 over Mount Michael Benedictine. South Sioux City, 44. Schuyler, 14. Lincoln Pius X, 28. Seward, 21. Class C1, 52-14 Mitchell over Amesworth. That's going to do it for this round of scores. We'll send it back to Elm Creek with Doug and Tony.
And again, welcome back to high school football. Ravenna Sanitation halftime report is come to a close, and Elwood gets to boot it away, and they kick it into the end zone. As they move, we're on an east-west field here at Elwood, so they're moving from east to west, and Elm Creek will be moving from west to east. As we start the third quarter, because of the two-and-a-half-hour delay, which at the time it was 13-0 Elm Creek, they scored two more touchdowns before the half. They lead it 27-0. We went with a three-minute halftime and 10-minute quarters. Elm Creek being led here by Kyler back 69 yards on the ground, two touchdowns. He also has a receiving touchdown, two touchdown passes by Meyer, both of 14 yards, one to Beck, one to Bartling. First down and 10 at the 15-yard line. Here's going to be a toss to Beck over the left side. He stands up tall and is going to be pushed out of bounds near the 19-yard line.
Yeah, that's just one of those sweeps to the outside where Elm Creek knows they've got the speed advantage done. They pick up 5 yards at least on it.
So second down and five as Elm Creek on their way to being 5-1 on the season.
But their two toughest games are probably still to come. Not that they haven't played some tough competition, but next week at Overton, and then they finish up at home against Alma. Second down and about 5.5. Meyer's going to give it to his fullback, Sutherland. This time, Elmo's ready for it. He only gets about a yard. It'll be 3rd and 4.
Good job that time right up front. That's number 62, Carl Einspar again. Einspar is there. Eggers is there. A host of maroon jerseys are there.
It'll be 3rd down and 4. Again, at every break, we'll be giving you some more scores here on the 5 Points Bank Scoreboard Show, normal time slot, but we've still got high school football tonight. On 3rd down, Meyer's going to roll to his right. He's going to lob it up there, and he's looking for Samuelson, and it's off his fingertips. It would have been a great one-handed catch at midfield, and that'll bring up 4th down.
Yeah, Samuelson that time had the defender. It was number 10, Zach Hackbart, beat by about just a step, but Hackbart running on his heels, a pass going right over his shoulder, just like you said, just off his fingertips.
So it's time to punt the football away again.
Devin Hollowell, number 48, back to
punt. Punting the ball away is Hollowell. He gets a clean snap, boots it away. Pretty nice spiral high kick. Be taken at the 26-yard line by Flint. Makes a man miss to the 30, and then it's grabbed by the shoulder pass, maybe the face mask. It looks like it'll be a face mask, and if it is, that's going to be 15 yards because it turned him around.
Yeah, it's a pretty easy call. Official standing right there saying he flipped his flag right at it. It's got to be a face mask. There was nobody else back there to hold.
35-yard punt and the penalty upcoming here. Block in the back going to be called on Elwood. So instead of the ball being at the 30-yard line, that'll back him up to the 20. Haven't had a lot of penalties in this football game, only the second one. That's the first on Elwood.
Well, we'll see if Elwood can mix some things up and try and move the football. The last time they tried throwing the football, I think they'll go back to trying more of the running attack with Flint and Gittes and see if they can't get something going there.
Well, good start for Elwood in the second half. They go 3 and out here and force Elm Creek to punt the football. Take over 1st down and 10 at their own 20-yard line, which is actually one of their better field positions of the night. They're going to hand it off to the fullback, Flint. He's going to get across the 25-yard line. Get up to about the, about to the 25 is where they're going to finally say he stacked up at. We'll call it another 5-yard gain. So Flint starting to find a little bit more room. I also got to believe Elm Creek is playing a little bit, I'm not going to call it softer defense. They just don't want Elwood to start chucking it over their heads. They've had a couple opportunities and just haven't hooked up.
It does, but he's one tackle from a huge, huge play several times over the Pirates.
2nd down and 5. This time, Gittison off the right side, just crashing forward, and he's got it up for the 1st down, it would appear.
Gittison gets up wondering, I think he grabbed my face mask. The official says, no, he did not.
So we'll mark it at the 29-yard line, and Elwood's definitely had some 1st downs. They're keeping up with Elm Creek in that department. Gittison, 21 yards on 5 carries, and they're just running hard at the hole and trying to run over some of the Elm Creek Buffaloes. 1st down and 10. Ball at their own 29-yard line. Split the backs this time. Wiseman going to hand it to the fullback, who was this time Gittison, and he didn't get much. Jumps up to the 30-yard line, maybe a gain of 1.
Yeah, Bartling right there just rips his legs out from under him. Good job by Bartling of firing through. He's in the backfield when they hand him the football.
27-0, Elm Creek with the lead, but again, the story, Elwood turned it over early, plus we had a 2.5-hour weather delay. Started playing close to 10 o'clock, a little bit, maybe 5 minutes till 10 when we resumed midway through the first quarter. Out of the I formation, Wiseman, hard count, got a flinch, but nobody to jump. Gives it to Flint. Flint breaks a tackle, and then holding on to bring him down is going to be Travis Stevens. Again, it's been close. It's been close for Elwood, and again, it was close. It was only a 4-yard gain, but they're blowing off this offensive, this defensive line. They're getting by the defensive line, and there's only three guys that are left on the field defensively that even have a chance. And they're making some good open field tackles, those secondary guys and linebackers right now for Elm Creek. 3rd down, call it 5.5 yards to go after Flint's 4-yard gain.
Very impressed with tackling, Doug, though. These guys have wrapped people up even with the conditions that they're in.
Wiseman on the option, pitches it to Floyd, who has some room around the right side. He's got the first down. He gets right at midfield. Knee going to hit at the 39-yard line. A gain of 7, move the chain.
A good hard running by Flint there. He drops his shoulder and gets every inch of what he could have got there. There are two white jerseys over there.
And if you were with us very early tonight, or if you've seen these teams, last year, way down for both of them. The only win either team had was when Elm Creek beat Elwood last year. They were 1-7. Elwood was 0-8. Injuries everywhere, youth everywhere. They weren't that fast. And in 1 year, they're healthy and ready to go again. On first down, handed up the middle. Flint weaves his way into Elm Creek territory to the 36-yard line. There's going to be another 5-yard gain.
That's 6 yards a shot. That's what Elwood wants to do here. 6 yards a shot. Then they'll get them sucked up and try and get Hackbar behind everybody for a big play.
Elm Creek 4-1. Elwood won their first two ball games and then played Bertrand and Alma and Overton. What the gauntlet it is. And now Elm Creek, who you didn't really maybe expect to be 4-1, the ball's fumbled on the exchange here, and it looks like Elwood got back on top of it with Wiseman, but some confusion there in the backfield, and they're going to lose about 3 yards on the play. It'll bring up 3rd and 8.
Yeah, that's a killer right there, because now your playbook becomes pretty limited here on 3rd and 8. Pick up another yard, and you got 3rd and 2 or 3. You have a full array of plays. It looks like a passing down here.
So 3rd down and 8, ball at the Elm Creek 38-yard line for Wiseman under center, and he is going to drop back to pass, roll to his right, under pressure, and he is going to be swamped. The ball comes loose. I think he got it back at his own 35-yard line, but he had his arm all the way back, ready to fire it down the field, looking for John Weber. And
down.
That might have been the big fella coming up and swamping him there. It looks like Sean Smith. Was that Sean Smith that swallowed him up there? Yes, it was. Sean Smith is a tall, tall man, and he just came falling down on top of him. And so Elwood's going to have to punt. 4th down and 14 yards to go. Low snap. It bounces right to him, and a low line drive punt that's going to work out here as Elm Creek thought about picking it up. It's going to roll out of bounds.
Goes out of bounds.
Near the 10.
At approximately the 10-yard line.
And that's where they're going to mark it. So a very good punt that time of about 42 yards.
That punt never got but about 8 feet off the ground. It's just a line drive. Hit the ground and just shot.
The last time they tried to pooch punt it, it went 5 yards. This time they had plenty of room, and it rolled a long way. We'll call it a 42-yard punt. Elm Creek has it 1st and 10 at their own 10, leading 27-0 with 4:57 to go here in the third quarter of play. Elm Creek scoring 3 touchdowns in the first quarter, and it's been very even since then. Elwood, the 3 turnovers leading to the first 3 scores of this football game. Now the Buffaloes will turn and hand it off. Doing a good job here as Beck and Sutherland get across the original line of scrimmage and get a couple of yards there.
Flint upends him. Good tackle, staying low. I got to correct myself. I said earlier the junior De Leon was in on defense, seeing some of his first action tonight. He, of course, is a center, so it's not his first action tonight. Plays all the time on the offense, but when he's putting pressure on Wiseman, that was one of the first times we called his name on defense.
2nd down, we'll call it 5 yards to go here as Elwood tries to stack the box again. Fullback trap. Sutherland doesn't get much here, maybe a yard up to the 15-yard line, and then across the 15 to the 16.
Tackled by number 9.
I got to think there's one of those toss sweeps is coming, and you know what? I know Stan Whistle's got a reverse in there. People are flowing so hard to the outside on those. You got to think an end's going to loop around and go for a big play on the backside.
3rd down and 2. Keeping it pretty basic here with the wet football so far in this second half for Elm Creek and a 27-0 lead. Dalton Meyer, he's going to hand it to his fullback again, and Sutherland's going to have it up for the first down across the 20 and bring it up to about the 23-yard line, give him a gain of 6.
Tackled by number 9.
I know you're looking at me, Doug, going, rolling that a little bit because you're saying, well, you don't want to run a reverse up 27-0. Elwood's been several plays away from being one tackle away, and 27-7, and all of a sudden the momentum goes, and it's 27-14.
Okay.
Back in this ball game.
Okay, Tim Beck. 1st down and 10 here for Elm Creek. Ball at their own 23-yard line. Meyer's going to drop back to pass, wants to throw a safe one underneath here, and he does. It is complete out to the 35-yard line, and Austin Samuelson right at the 1st down marker. That should be enough to move the chains.
I think you're going to be about a half a yard short. They're not even going to need to measure this, I don't think. He's well short of that line. The marker looks to be right on the line. Second down, I think they're going to say.
We're shaded here by the Elm Creek players, and that is the case. They're going to say the ball was not up around his shoulders when he fell down, but back down around his waist, so it's going to be a 9-yard completion. Meyer, that's the first completion that wasn't a touchdown. He's 3 of 5 of the ball game for 37 yards and 2 touchdowns. Hand off over the right side, up to the 39-yard line, well enough for a first down that time for Beck.
I can say that time crashing across the line of scrimmage. There was some pad popping going on, pretty good hitting by the guys in maroon that time, 3 of them in on that tackle.
You're listening to KKPR-FM, Kearney, Elm Creek, Elwood, and the World Wide Web, PlatteRiverPreps.com. I want to thank the gang back at the station for hanging with us, even though we'll have some more scores for you in just a moment. First down and 10, ball at the Elm Creek 39-yard line off the left side. Looks like that's
Sutherland
again.
By 9.
Getting tough to read the white jerseys with the mud on them, and 30 and 33, both been good runners, but Sutherland gets that carry. He's going to get 3, 2nd down and 7.
Of course, if you're just joining us, you don't realize that Zach Crowley, the name you've heard all year long for the Buffaloes, out tonight with a been sick all week of the flu, never been to a day of school, and said, stay home.
Elm Creek's a little banged up, but the kids, if they've moved around, are doing a great job. They go with a single back set this time, and Meyer's going to drop back to pass, looking to set up a screen. The screen's covered, so Meyer's going to take off and run. Starts left, cuts back up across the middle of the field to the 35, tripped up at the 33-yard line, runs a long way, and ends up picking up about 5 yards. It'll be 2nd down and 2.
Now, Meyer used to cutting on a dime, and that time he tried to cut, and his leg went out from under him. They just hopped forward, and Carl Einspire covers him.
Minute 45 to go, third quarter, Elm Creek 27 and Elwood nothing. But since we've come back from the weather delay, it's been an evenly played ball game. Elm Creek has been able to put a score on the board and take that lead out to 27 to nothing. Now they're trying to extend the lead here on 3rd down and 2. Split the backs. Meyer hands it to Beck off the left side, and Beck maybe tried to do a little too much. I don't think he got there.
Doug, I think he did get there. His last effort, he just hopped enough. I think they're going to give him the spot and give him a first down.
Looks like I'm going to have to get the prescription checked again. So a gain of 2 that time for Beck. It's enough to move the chain.
Well, out here on the landing, I understand I got a little bit better luck, about a 3-yard better luck from you.
There's no rain in your face, is there? 1st down and 10. Ball at the 30-yard line of Elwood as we approach 1 minute to play here in the third quarter. Dalton Meyer, he's been handling his offense here, goes on a counter play over the right side to Sutherland. Sutherland crashes off the right end for a couple. Gets across the 30-yard line. They're going to give him a pretty good spot here to about the 27-yard line. We'll call it a 4-yard gain.
There's one thing about all these running plays. That clock continues to run, too. Down to 40 seconds and running.
And in between quarters, another quick run down of the scores and some of the postponements. Kearney Catholic a winner tonight. Kearney High postponed with North Platte. Kearney High will play that game at Kearney High School, not Foster Field, because of the UNK game tomorrow at 12:30. Toss sweep, Kyler Beck wide to the left side. Steps out of one tackle, gets to the 25, steps out of another to the 20, and he'll be pushed out of bounds there for another Elm Creek first down. Getting to about the 18-yard line.
Good job of fighting for extra yards and making sure he had the first down to move the chains here for the Buffaloes.
90 yards is what I have Kyler Beck for on the night. 2 touchdowns rushing, 1 receiving. And it'll be 1st down and 10 at the 18-yard line of Elwood. What could be the final play here of the third quarter as we're down to 20 seconds to go. And Meyer throwed it once on this drive. Out of the I formation, Meyer gives it to Beck, tries the left side, and he is going to be wrapped up right there. Among the men in there, Brady Grafton. Gittison was in there. And, of course, the name we've called a whole bunch tonight, Einspar.
Yeah, Einspar is doing a good job.
All night. Might even say a loss of a half yard on that one, Tony.
Yeah, Grafton, though, first man through, grabbed him by the waist, pull it backwards.
And that will be the end of the third quarter of play. Elm Creek 27, Elwood nothing. Let's send it back to the studios for some score updates.
Josh Dillon back here in the studio on the 5 Points Bank Scoreboard Show. And in Class C1, Mitchell 52, Ainsworth 14, Wahoo Bishop Newman 42, Omaha Roncalli Catholic 14, Gothenburg a 21-20 winner over Broken Bow, that game in overtime, Wayne 29-15 over Central City. It was Columbus Lakeview 41, Arlington 22, Columbus SCOTUS 47, North Bend Central 7, David City 20, Raymond Central 14, Fillmore Central 20-6 over Fair. Minden 30-0 over Gibbon. It was Sandy Creek 34, GICC 30. Milford a 28-21 winner over Lincoln Lutheran. Ogallala 14-7 over Shattern. It was Ord over O'Neill 15-13. Boone Central at St. Paul has been postponed to October the 10th. It was Valentine 20, Cozad 3. That'll do it for here. We'll send it back out to Elm Creek.
Welcome back to high school football here on Classic Hits. Still some time here in the fourth quarter, Stace. I'm going to throw it back to you for another minute. They're still getting ready to start the fourth quarter. We'll take a break. Be back in 30.
This broadcast is made possible in part by M&J Signs. Call Mike today and find out how the professionals can brighten up your business and get the attention of your next customers. M&J Signs does a wide variety of signs, from pole signs to billboard signs and everything in between. Designs may be supplied by you, or we can help design your company logo. We'll be efficient and bring you a product you can depend on to show off your business. With just a quick phone call, we will send you in the right direction for your sign needs. M&J Signs is a proud supporter of all area athletes.
Second down and nine. It was second and 11 at the other side of the field. Now it's second and nine. Dalton Meyer on an option is going to pitch it back to the right side. Kyler Beck turns the corner, makes a man miss at the 10, runs over a man at the 5, goes to the pylon, and he is going to be just short of the end zone. Nice run for Kyler Beck.
For first down.
Good job of cutting back. Beck got his feet. The defenders did not. He went right by two people in maroon jerseys over there in front of that pirate bench.
It's going to put Beck over 100 yards. They're going to mark the ball just inside the 3. First and goal, Elm Creek, up 27-0 with just under 10 minutes to go in this ball game. Weather that has affected a lot of games tonight. So on first and goal, Meyer turns. He's going to hand it off the left side. Sutherland's going to work his way into the end zone for a Buffalo touchdown. It'll be his first of the night.
That'll make it.
A real easy touchdown there. He made one cutback move, walked in untouched. Good job by the offensive line of the Buffaloes.
54 yards for Sutherland as they line up to go for the extra point, which would make it 34-0. You might see a fake here, Tony, to get it to 35 in a running clock. Let's see. Nope, Meyer's going to go ahead and kick it. They did fake it the first time tonight, and it didn't work. And the extra point, is up and good. 9:46 to go in the ball game. Elm Creek 34, Elwood nothing. We're back with more high school football in a minute.
More scores for you here in the Platte River Preps Friday Night Scoreboard Show, brought to you by 5 Points Bank in Class C2. Oakland Craig was a 36-16 winner over Archbishop Bergen. It was North Platte St. Patrick's 28-14 over Cambridge. Kearney Catholic a 34-14 winner over Donovan Trumbull. Hastings St. Cecilia blanks Thayer Central 42-0. It was Lincoln Christian 49-16 over Palmyra. Sutton a 52-6 winner over Superior. Wilbur Claytonia 49-8 over Southern. Tri-County 34-6 over Malcolm, and Bayard 41-6 over Dundee County Stratton in 8-man. We'll have more 8-man breaks up right after this. We'll take it back out to Elm Creek.
Well, Elm Creek has kicked it into the end zone every time, but this time Flint can take it at the 1 off the Samuelson kick. 5-10, room left side, 15, 20, 25, 30, 32-yard line. Good run back by Walter Flint.
That's tackled by the kicker, Samuelson. But Flint just full speed ahead. There's no trying to juke anybody. He just dropped the shoulder trying to run over people. He's been the workhorse tonight.
Next week, Elwood will be at Arapahoe. Most likely, Tony, that could be for a playoff berth next week between those two teams, both 2 and 3 entering this week. First and 10 at their own 32-yard line. They'll put Wiseman in the shotgun. Both running backs back to protect, trying to set up a screen, and it's not there. He lobbed it out there for Dennison, and it's just as good that he didn't catch that football, I don't think, Tony. There was nowhere to go. Well covered by the Buffaloes.
Yeah, good shot. if he catches that football, it can go nowhere. It was just a good job of just letting everything. Let's start over. Let's regroup and see if we can't get something going.
Folks, I want to remind you at the end of the ball game, we'll have a very quick Misco Sports postgame show, and then we will send it back to the studios, and Josh and the gang will run through all of the scores from the night. Maybe have the recap of the Kearney Catholic game for you before we call it a night. So stay with us for that. Out of the I formation, handoff, flip, right side, plus off the end, 40, 34-yard line, 35-yard line, they're going to say, before his knee hits at the middle of first down.
Flint just keeps battling. He just shoots the outside. Very, very shifty little guy and gets the outside. He knew where he had to get for that first down. He actually dove that ball out under his arm to make sure he had it.
First and 10, they'll mark it at the 36-yard line, 11 on the gain there for Walter Flint. So he is the leading rusher with 70 yards now for Elwood, who really wants to get on the board now. They had to wait it out all night. And why not get on the board here? A little trouble with the quarterback-center exchange, but once Wiseman gets it, he just takes it himself to the left end and is going to be thrown down there. Sutherland did on the tackle.
Yeah, not much there at all. Somebody put a heck of a block. It looked like a Cody Patterson, number 55 that time. He did a somersault out there just about 3 yards in front of the play.
Second down and 10. High school football on Classic Hits 98.9. Doug Duda, Tony Davis with you here. 34-0 now. Elm Creek has extended the lead by scoring on their last drive from 3 yards out. Here's a handoff to the I-back, and the I-back this time will split their move. Flint and Gittison, they'll split them, they'll invert them, they'll do different things with them, and Flint's going to pick up about five more yards to the 31-yard line.
Once again, I think Elm Creek's got to be licking their chops. Just focus on 39, gets the ball every time.
It's been successful, but Elwood just hasn't been able to punch it into the end zone yet, and they're still a ways away. Third and five at the 31. They're going to continue to hand it to Flint off the right side. Spins off one man across the 30, but it's not going to have enough for the first down. It doesn't look like Tony. At about the 27-yard line, he's going to be close.
Jake Bartling there again for the Buffaloes. Now they're looking at this like they might have to major, and I think he's short. They're not even going to major this. It's fourth down.
So Flint picks up four more. It'll be fourth down and one. And Elwood hasn't necessarily had a whole lot of success on these. They've converted one fourth down so far in the ballgame. 7:45 to go. And Elwood breaks the huddle. With Gittison to the right, Flint to the left. Wiseman goes under center. Let's see if they try to quarterback sneak it. Wiseman, hard count. He turns, he hands it off to Gittison, who has the first down, gets it into secondary, and gets a pretty good gain as he gets close to the 20-yard line.
That time Bartling just overran the play. There's no way Gittison's getting the football. It goes to 39 every time. He overran the play and allowed Gittison to pick up a nice gain.
Nice call, nice execution by the Pirates, a 6-yard gain. They'll mark it right on the 20-yard line here in the right hash, first down and 10. Check it out of the ball game will be Ryman. They'll change things up on the line.
Yeah, Rogers comes in at the left guard position now.
Eggers, your big center. Weber is your right end. They're going to go shotgun. No, they're going to take Wiseman under center. And a little counterplay here to Gittison. And well designed, but also well covered for Elm Creek. They're right there on top of it. Make the tackle almost immediately.
Cody Peterson.
And Cody Peterson was in there, and Sutherland was in there as well, a gain of one. Gittison hasn't had a whole lot of big runs tonight. His first carry was for 9 yards, and that's his longest run so far this evening. Clock running down to 6:35 to go in the ballgame, 34-0 Elm Creek. Elwood on the march, though, second down and 9 at the 19-yard line, and they will hand it off the left side to Flint. He kind of got shoved right into his own blocking back in Gittison and lost all his momentum and got back to the line of scrimmage. That's about it.
Guess who's there? Peterson?
Sutherland. So we're seeing some of the same guys do the same thing, and it's good tonight for Elm Creek. So nothing that time for Flint. We'll call it third down and 9 at the 19-yard line. 6 minutes to go in the football game. They'll go to the power eye formation, double tight end. Wiseman takes the snap. This time he wants to throw over the middle for his end, and there's all kinds of contact. Tried to get it to Gittison. They're looking for a flag, and I do not see a flag. Gittison ran right into the linebacker,
And Britton Ferguson is saying, I should have had that ball picked off because there was one receiver and four men back in coverage that time. It will be incomplete, fourth down and nine.
Well, Ferguson saying that, there's another kid with his hands on his head that ran right through the receiver going, uh-oh, that was an easy penalty, and they didn't call one on him.
So fourth down and nine at the Elm Creek 19-yard line. Pirates once again have to go for it on fourth down. Out of the shotgun, high snap, Wiseman has it. Has a little time, now flushed out of there, rolls to his right. A penalty flag comes down as he runs it, and he's not going to get the first down anyway. And then a late hit, maybe as he's going out of bounds. A couple of flags come out at the 14-yard line. But I think we're going to have offsetting penalties, Tony.
No, because they're going to call one after the play, and the other one's going to be during the play. So they'll march off the 10 yards and move it back 15, I believe.
Well, let's see if we can get this one figured out here on what would have been a fourth down. But all kinds of time for Wiseman. Had nobody open. Finally decided he better take off and run, and he didn't get it. So a holding call and then a personal foul on Elm Creek.
So it'll be an automatic first down. That's the good news if you're a Pirate fan.
34-0, 5:41 to go here in our football game. Elm Creek leading Elwood. And the white hat talking to the captains as to what they want to do. Obviously, you accept the penalty in this situation. Don't forget, we just got a couple of weeks of high school football left, and we'll be on the road again the next couple of Fridays, a Thursday down the road.
They marched 10 yards off against the Pirates.
And now after they march that off, of course, Elwood's going to say, yeah, we want that penalty on the late hit. But we'll wait and see what the call is and what the referee decides. Still some problem here. They mark it off 34-0 again, in case you joined us late, and why wouldn't you, because that means you're still with us here at 11 o'clock tonight. A game that started at 7 o'clock this evening. We only played 6.5 minutes of the first quarter before a lightning delay got to us here and resulted in a 2.5-hour delay, and we started again just before 10 o'clock, and now we have 5:41 to go in the game. It was 13-0 midway through the first quarter. It's now 34-0, so we have and a hold on Elwood and a personal foul that does result in the automatic first down. And Elwood's going to turn and hand it off to Flint. He finds a little hole up the middle. Gets across the 10-yard line and going to be down to about the 7.
But that's just the case of Flint. He's so low to the ground, he's not all that big. I think he just kind of hides back there, finds a little hole, and then shoots through. He's really been impressive tonight.
It's going to be second down. We'll call it about 3 at the 8. Need to get just across the 5-yard line for a first and goal situation. This time they'll split the backs, keep that double tight end in there. Wiseman, stretch play, gives it to Gittison, and his legs are chopped out from under him right away. Bartling is among the first ones in there to chop him down. He falls forward for 2. It'll be 3rd and a long yard.
Well, that's what you waited for. I mean, this is a moral victory, getting into the end zone here. You move the ball all night. You've done everything but get into the end zone. So this certainly is a big play for the Pirates.
Well, after scoring 108 points in their first two games, they've not scored in their last 7 quarters plus. And they'll give it to Gittison off the right side, and he is hit. The ball is loose. And I think Elm Creek has got it. That would be the 4th turnover of the night. Gittison was absolutely planted.
He was belted. There's 2 white jerseys and 1 maroon.
I think Bartley's the one that hit him again, and it will be Elm Creek football, even though they're still wrestling for it. And Elm Creek comes off the bottom of the pile.
DeLeon comes up with the football.
Okay, Samuelson was there. He might have been the one that hit it, too.
55, Peterson comes up with the football.
So Peterson with the fumble recovery in the red zone. And the ball will be marked at about the 7-yard line, 6 or 7-yard line of Elm Creek. But that is the 4th turnover of the night for Elwood.
6 or 7-yard line.
You might see a new quarterback come in here for the Buffaloes.
4:28 to go in the contest. Cody Gardedge comes into the ball game, number 80. And on first down, we do see a new quarterback in Hayden Geis. And they'll turn and hand it off up the middle. That is Devin Hollowell. Hollowell comes across the 10 out to the 12-yard line.
Good quick hitter right up the middle, right over the guard position. Good pickup on the play for the Buffaloes.
Give Hollowell a gain of 5. Second down and 5. Seeing some, as you said, some new players. Looks like a lot of the linemen are staying in there, though. And all they want to do is hand it off, run forward, and get on the bus and get home. Geis, little misdirection, goes with a fullback dive there. He ran into his running back, Nick Crowley, who is back there, just a freshman.
Yeah, Stan Whistle saying, hey, you. That was on the quarterback. Immediately Stan says his young quarterback over to the sidelines, have a word with him.
No gain on the play that time. And it'll be third down and 6. Hollowell in there. This time, Geis is going to keep it himself around the right side. Has room. 15, 20, 30, into the clear. The backup quarterback is going to take it all the way to the end zone. The sophomore, Hayden Geis, he's going to go 69 yards for the touchdown.
How do you do that? You're in that fullback. Sooner or later, they got to fake it to the fullback and try and get somebody outside. We said in the first half, when the ones were on ones, they had a speed advantage. The Buffaloes did. And the twos on twos have a speed advantage as well because Geis took a good fake up the middle and around the end he was off for the races.
Well, Elwood had sold out to cover those running backs, and I probably would have too. Wouldn't have expected Geis to take off with the football. I'll credit him with a 69-yard touchdown run, and that is going to make it 40-0 with 3:14 to go. And sticking with the backup theme, Gabe Hubbard is going to come in and attempt the extra point. But before we can get anything done, we have a delay of game penalty. Yeah, I have the same reaction, Tony.
I mean, it wasn't like it was. They weren't close to snapping the ball. That was a half a second at best. Probably just let that one go. I'm just saying.
You mean everybody but the guy that threw the flag wants to go home? Is that what you're saying, big fella? 40-0. Elm Creek, I think you got to give the credit. Now they're going to take Austin Samuelson and bring him in to try the extra point here. Probably just because they didn't think Hubbard maybe had the leg to go that extra 5 yards. Samuelson line drive looks like it's going to be wide left. It is no good. 3:14 to go in the game. 40-0 now. Elm Creek will get a continuous clock. We'll send it back to the studios. Be back with the kickoff in a moment.
The roots of Security First Bank have been growing since the late 1800s. Today, Security First Bank is one of the fastest-growing financial service providers in the Heartland. They still have a small-town, friendly attitude and treat each customer like a good neighbor. Security First Bank in Elwood proudly sponsors this high school sports broadcast and wishes the Pirates a winning season. Security First Bank, a relationship you can count on. Member FDIC.
This broadcast is proudly brought to you by Mom's Kitchen. For a home-cooked breakfast or lunch, head to Mom's Kitchen. The one in Elm Creek, of course, when Mom doesn't want to cook or she isn't there to cook. Mom's Kitchen in Elm Creek will. Now with an even bigger and better Mom's Kitchen. Expect the same great home cooking in a better location. Mom's Kitchen is the taste of home with homemade daily breakfast and lunch specials. Only at Mom's Kitchen in Elm Creek. Best of luck to all the area athletes.
Well, Austin Samuelson has done a good job kicking the ball through the end zone. Last time it made it only to the one, and Flint got a good return. Now it's just going to be a pooch kick, and it's going to bounce around, be picked up about the 15-yard line, up to the 20 with some running room. Is going to be Zach Hackbart, and he'll be brought down at around the 22, 23-yard line. The
reason that was a pooch kick, Austin Stolf, number 87, kicked it off, actually.
Well, there you go. Okay. You say so, big fella. 2:54, now the clock running, so this will most likely be the last possession of the night. See some clean jerseys in there for Elwood as well, and on a kind of a moist night like we've had here. And, I mean, it just absolutely poured, and anybody that's been in this part of the state tonight for any length of time knows the weather that we've had, and the backup quarterback is going to take the football and go straight ahead over the left side. That is Zach Hackbart. And just goes straight ahead, picks himself up about 4 yards out to the 28-yard line.
Yeah, good job of seeing some, like you said, the new jerseys in there, and they're still playing hard physical football here with the clock running.
Second down and 5. Out of the I formation, Hackbart going to turn, hand it to the second man through. That's still Walter Flint. Got the room. 20, 30, 40. Down the left sideline, 30, and pushed out of bounds inside the 20-yard line by Nick Crowley.
Great angle by Nick Crowley, being a freshman and having that angle, because a lot of freshmen would not have been able to catch Flynn is the speed that he's got.
We're going to give him 34 yards on the play. That's going to help out the average, get him up to 120 on the night as they hustle up to the line of scrimmage. A minute 45 to go here in the football game. 40-0 Elm Creek. Flint off the left side has a little bit of a gap again, fighting hard across the 15 and close to the 13-yard line. Five more.
That's the same exact play. He's able to bounce one more tackle and get down the sideline the play before.
Again, with the continuous clock, it would be running here anyway, but second down, we'll call it about 4.5 yards to go at the 13-yard line. Hackbart, the quarterback now, back to pass, wants to throw it. He's a lefty. He loops it into the end zone, and it's intercepted. Was he inbounds when he picked it off? Crowley picked it off, but he may have been out of bounds. He was out of bounds at the pylon.
It'll be firing ball, third down.
A minute 5 to go here in the football game. Misco Sports postgame show coming up, then we'll quickly send it back to the studio for all of tonight's scores, so stay with us. On third down now, Hackbart in a turn, hand it off, Flint, crashes off the left side, gets across the 10, there's a pile up, and he is going to dive forward for what should be a first down at the 5-yard line. First and goal.
First and goal from the 5. Now you see the urgency by Elwood to hurry up the line of scrimmage with 40 seconds and the clock running.
Well, of course, they got a timeout if they want to use it. Crash it up the middle again. Flint down to the 2. And I would think Elwood would use the timeout here. Second down and goal at the 2. And they're ready to roll again. Hustling up. Hackbart takes it, turns it. Oh, the pitch is fumbled, and Elm Creek covers it, and that's the way the night has been. Instead of just a straight handoff, they tried to pitch it out there, and the ball is covered by Elm Creek. And I believe that's number 28, Zach Johnson, that covered it, Tony.
I believe you are correct. And now
that'll be his second. He had an interception earlier today, and now has a fumble recovery.
Now just to take go the victory formation, take a knee, and this one's over.
Well, you don't even have to do that with the continuous clock. As you hear the gun, this football game is over. 4 hours and 12 minutes after it started, it has come to an end. Throw a 2.5-hour weather delay in the middle, and Elm Creek did what they needed to do to win the football game 40-0. The Misco Sports postgame show and all the scores of the night coming up, so stay with us. We'll be back in a minute.
At ENT Physicians of Kearney, we put patients first. Doctors Owen and Connolly have provided unsurpassed care to adults and children with problems and diseases related to the ear, nose, and throat. To learn more about our practice and the services we provide, please visit our website at entphysiciansofkearney.com. Caring for our community one patient at a time. We're ENT Physicians of Kearney and Family Hearing Center.
Congratulations, you've won $1 million from Publishers Click.
Move out of the way. Is that a Valentino's delivery truck going down the street? I didn't know they delivered. Hey, guys, Valentino's delivers.
It's the next best thing to enjoying Valentino's famous Grand Italian Buffet. Now delivery of pizza, pasta, and salads. Just a call away, 308-233-3888. That's 233-3888. Better than $1 million? Depends on how hungry you are.
Hey, didn't you hear me?
Valentino's and Kearney now delivers.
It's time now for the Misco Sports postgame show. Misco Sports on the breaks of the downtown Kearney Center. If you're getting ready to root on the Huskers or the Loafers tomorrow, they're open at 9 a.m. Go get yourself maybe a little poncho to put over the top of your Loafer or Husker t-shirt or sweatshirt. And, of course, right now, all football and volleyball apparel and accessories, 30% off. Stop by and see them today at Misco Sports. Let's give you a quick rundown, and then we'll send it back to the studios. Josh Jelton will have the very abbreviated 5 points bank scoreboard show. But again, the story tonight, Doug Dude along with Tony Davis. Tony, the story tonight, obviously, was the weather. And there's just no good way to handle situations like this. There was football being played around the area. Then there were games that were postponed around the area tonight as well. And those football games, some will be played tomorrow, some will be played on Saturday. We'll hear about that here from the scoreboard, or Monday, Saturday and Monday from the scoreboard show. We'll hear that in a moment. The lightning was just as bad or worse when we restarted it, but the rain had passed through, and it worked out well. This game probably could have been played and been done by 9, but they took the safe route here on the official side, and we got to where we needed to be. And Elm Creek just took care of business, and, of course, Elwood helped them out with quite a few turnovers tonight and their inability to convert on fourth and short a couple of times.
Yeah, you know, the score is really not indicative of how this game went. They had all the turnovers. How many times you put the ball on the carpet 3 times, you convert it for 21 points? Uh-oh. You know, they were behind the 8-ball. Elwood seemed to be all night long.
For Elwood, here's what I had. Spencer Gittison had 31 yards tonight. I have him for 9 carries. Walter Flint, 137 yards in the football game tonight, close to 20 carries. Aaron Wiseman, 3 yards, sacked once, fumbled the ball once. I have 178 yards rushing for Elwood, 42 yards passing, 220 yards of total offense with those 4 turnovers. They managed 14 first downs. When they did move the ball, it was on sustained drives. For Elm Creek, Kyler Beck, who is back and was a key component tonight at I-back, they needed him with Zach Crowley out with an injury. Ends up with 102 yards rushing, 2 rushing touchdowns, 1 receiving touchdown. Hollowell, a couple of carries for 4 yards. Trevor Sutherland, 54 yards rushing tonight and a touchdown. Dalton Meyer, 20 yards rushing. He also was 3 for 5 through the air with 2 14-yard touchdown passes. And then the last score, backup quarterback Hayden Geist broke one off the right side for 69 yards and the touchdown. And he's a little speedster.
You know what? A lot of speed on that Buffalo side of the football, Doug. They were faster than Elwood was tonight.
249 yards rushing unofficially, 37 yards passing in the football game. So you've got 286 yards unofficially. Elm Creek, about 13 first downs, just a couple penalties each way. Each team punted it. But 4 turnovers in the football game. In fact, make it 5 turnovers in the football game for Elwood. No turnovers in the football game for Elm Creek. That's the big number in this game tonight.
Yeah, it certainly is. And you can't do that. And Elwood was going to go in and score at the end and put the ball once again on the carpet to thwart that the drive right as time was about ready to expire. But nonetheless, I really think, man-on-man, Elm Creek just had a little bit better football team tonight. And they got a nice football team as we look ahead to the final 2 games of the season.
Yeah, we're going to find out how good their football team is as they will now take on Overton on the road next week, who is going to be sky high after upsetting Alma. And then that Thursday night game to end it up, they've got Alma at Elm Creek for Elwood. They go to Arapahoe next week and then host Southwest in the season finale. Early tonight, Elwood got the opening kickoff, went back-to-back first downs, then a helmet ended up on the football as they were running strong off the left side. Austin Samuelson with the fumble recovery, and it only took 2 plays for Dalton Meyer to hook up with Jake Bartley on a 14-yard touchdown pass. 2-point pass was no good. And then after stopping Elwood 3 and out, Kyler Beck took it off the left side for a 30-yard touchdown run. Dalton Meyer made the kick 13-0. Zach Johnson then got the interception, and then that's when the lightning delay occurred. With 5:27 to go in the first quarter, we had a 2.5-hour delay because of that, had a big rainstorm move through, and then just before 10 o'clock, we were ready to play football again. And then you've got Kyler Beck recovering a fumble after the lightning delay. Elm Creek had got stopped, and he recovers a fumble, and Beck takes it in for the second time from 4 yards out. It's 20-0 at the end of the first quarter. Then Meyer hooks up with Beck on a 14-yard touchdown pass to complete a 55-yard drive. That makes it 27-0. That's where we were at half. No scoring in the third quarter. Then on the first play, or second play of the fourth quarter, Trevor Sutherland took it in from 3 yards out. Meyer makes the kick 34-0. Then you've got Peterson covering a fumble. That's the 4th turnover midway through the fourth quarter. And then the backups come in. Hayden Geis, a 69-yard touchdown run. And the game ends when Zach Johnson covers a fumble when Elwood looked like they were going in there at the 2-yard line, turned to pitch it, and it was pitched behind Walter Flint, and it was covered there by Zach Johnson. Elm Creek 40, Elwood nothing. The Pirates go to 2-4. Elm Creek improves to 5-1. We'll do it somewhere again next Friday, Tony.
Yeah, looking forward to that. Looking forward to a little bit better weather. A little bit, you know, you'd like the thing coming down the stretch here. This is the only game we've done this year that's been impacted by weather, but it seems like every week games are delayed, which is something we're not really accustomed to.
And all in all, it wasn't bad here tonight, considering there were no warnings or anything like that. There was Hopefully everybody back home got through the night okay. You've been listening to the Misco Sports postgame show, Misco Sports, on the breaks of the downtown Kearney Center. Right now they've got shoes from Sandals, which Daddy loves to wear. Maybe get you ready for basketball season. Maybe you're going to get some football shoes for the youngster still to play. You're heading into the playoffs. You're up to 50% off. See their value table and all football and volleyball accessories now on sale. Apparel and gear for 30% off at Misco's. We're going to turn it back to the studios for the Friday night scoreboard show. They're going to whip through all the scores from the area. And for Tony Davis and producer-engineer Stacy Johns, I'm Doug Duda saying thanks for joining us again. The final score, Elm Creek 40 and Elwood nothing. Good night, everybody.
The proceeding has been a presentation of Platte River Radio Sports.